Yesterday we discussed the prayers of Queen Kunti in the 31st verse. The first three verses Kunti Maharani says how to know the Supreme Lord. Namasye Purusham Tvadyam, then Maya Javanika Chhannam, and how can Katham Pashye Mahistriyaha, so how can women know you? So you are covered by the curtain of Maya, and only great Paramahamsas can know you, right? Otherwise you are alakshyam, invisible. So how can simple women like us know you? She says, Shika was kind of representing the woman community. Then later she says, yes, although I cannot know you, still I am fortunate. Vasudev, Devaki and Nanda Maharaj, they were fortunate to show Vatsalya affection, but I am also fortunate because I am able to have your darshan. Namah Pankajana Abhaya, Namah Pankajana Marini, Namah Pankajana Itraya. And not only I am having your darshan, I had the opportunity to receive your reciprocation and protection in various incidents. Right? You protected my children from various calamities, although you did not protect the children of Devaki. Right? So, because all these calamities gave me the opportunity to remember you and depend on you, I invite those calamities again and again. Like that she says. Then she says, who can easily approach the Lord? So, akinchana bhaktas can easily approach the Lord. And Lord is very shanta. Lord is very tolerant and peaceful towards those akinchana bhaktas. He is like the property of such akinchana bhaktas. And Lord is also eternal time factor, right? Manyatvam kalam ishanam. So Lord is eternal time factor and he is an abode of conflicting qualities, kalihi. That's why it is difficult for people to understand the nature of his appearances and activities, right? They are inconceivable for people. So that's where we concluded. And one example she gives about the inconceivable qualities of the Lord. Gopya dadetva ikrita agasidhamatavad. So, although he is fearful to the fear personified, still he became fearful in front of Mother Yashoda. Simple micro is sufficient. There are not many people are there. These big speakers may not be used. But if another combination may be there, otherwise for next class you can arrange. Someone else may be there or later. But micro is better, simple.
Kechidahurajam jatam. पुण्यश्लोकस्य कीर्तये यदोह प्रियस्यान्वबाये मलयस्येव चंदनम्.
Here from this verse onwards Kunti Maharani gives several reasons for Lord's appearance. Kechit ahur, ahu means speaking out. So, kechit ahur ajam jatam. This aja, unborn supreme lord, jatam, he has taken birth for these reasons. Some people give different reasons. Different people give different reasons. First reason is punya shlokaya kirtaye, to increase the glories of pious kings like Yudhishthir Maharaj, right, to glorify them. So, Krishna, he increases the glories of his devotees. Right, kirtanya tirtha yashasham punya shloka yashaskaram dhyaye devam samagrangam yavanna chavate manaha. Like that Kapiladeva glorifies the Lord. Punya shloka yashaskaram. The Lord's nature is to glorify his devotees, to increase the influence of his devotees. Bhagavatam several verses describe this theme, describe this quality of the Lord. So it is Ram could have crossed the ocean of Lanka very easily, but he gave the credit to Hanumanji. Ram had to make a bridge, had to make a bridge. So, but Hanumanji had taken this jump across. So like that, Lord gives glory to his devotees. Right? When Krishna was there in Vrindavan, so many demons attacked him. Right? So there were so many people who were loving Krishna when he was in Vrindavan, but there were other people also who were hating Krishna when he was in Vrindavan. But when Goswamis were in Vrindavan, dhira dhira jana priyo, they were dear to both ruffians and gentle people. So who is more glorious? It is Lord Chaitanya who predicted that this Krishna consciousness movement and the holy name is spread all over the every town and village, right? So who actually did it? The glory was given to Prabhupada, although Lord Chaitanya predicted it. So who orchestrated the entire war of Kurukshetra? It is Krishna, but he remained as a chariot driver. And he made Arjuna hero, Bhima hero. Right? All the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra were killed by Bhima. And all the big warriors like Bhishma, Drona, and all these people were killed by Arjuna. So Krishna made them the heroes, but he remained the chariot driver only, right? Taking care of horses. So it is Krishna's glory that he wants to increase the influence of devotees. That is Punya Shloka Yashaskaram or Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye. Second reason that people say is Yadoho Priyasya Anvavaye. Yadu is a king, he is the son of Yayati. Yayati had 5 sons. One is Puru, so from which entire Pandava dynasty appeared. And Yadu, so Krishna dynasty appeared from Yadu, so like that. So Yadu Priyasya Anvavaya, so he appeared in the family of Yadu. To please a devotee king like Yadu, Krishna appeared. First reason is to glorify pious kings like Yudhishthira. That is Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye. Second reason is to please his dear devotees like Yadu. He appeared in Yadu dynasty. So Malayasya Eva Chandanam. For the second reason, she gives a simple analogy. Malayasya Eva Chandanam. In the hill of Malaya, Chandan, sandalwood trees grow. Right? Just like sandalwood appears in Malaya hills, Krishna appeared in Yadu dynasty. Right? Verse is clear. Simple verse. So in this verse, Kunti Maharani gives 2 reasons for the unborn Lord to take birth. One reason is to increase the influence of devotees. Second reason is to please his devotee king like Yadu Maharaj. Right? So, Prabhupada writes in this purport, he appears by his own internal potency to re-establish the principles of religion and to protect the pious and to annihilate the impious. This is Paritranaya Sadhuna Vinashaya Chudushkrutam. So that is the mission of the Lord's appearance of the unborn. So now there are different reasons for which Krishna appears. So the internal reason is Prema Rasa Kurite Aswadan. He wants to experience the Prema Rasa in his relationship with his devotees. Kurite Aswadan. Raga Marga Bhakti Pracharan. He wants to propagate this bhakti process, especially Raga Marga Bhakti. And Paritranaya Sadhunam, Vinashaya Chadushkrutam, Dharma Samsthapanarthaya. These are all various reasons mentioned in the scriptures. Right? So, that is the reason why Krishna appears. So, Kunti Maharani gave 2 reasons. Prabhupada gives few more reasons in the purport. That's how purports are written. So, just to throw more light on the verse, it's a 4-line verse, but the purport could be 4 paragraphs or 4 pages sometimes. It's all elaborating on the theme. Right? So, when there is a pious king ruling over the world, the people are happy. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj is a pious king. Whichever fan is making sound can be switched off. Whoever wants fan can shift to the other side where there are fans. This one, right? This one? Oh, okay. Maybe slow or maybe devotees can shift to the other side. When light went off, there was shanti. You noticed? So the empire citizens themselves select their representative to rule over them. So in the modern context, the kings were selected, the rulers were selected based on the votes given by people in general, masses of people. So generally people in general citizens, they don't have that intelligence who can rule us better, right? Many times they may be misguided, misled by some false promises of rulers, or maybe they may be bribed also, right? So on the basis of those votes, how can a king be elected? So Prabhupada several times questions this whole system of how can you elect, right? People who are not very intelligent or sensible, those people are saying that we want this ruler. If 10 people say like that, then you select that ruler. So like that. Impious citizens themselves elect their representative to rule over the kingdom. And therefore they cannot blame anyone for their unhappiness. On top of it, when they only select some ruler, and if he is not ruling properly, and they start blaming him. You are to be blamed. Why did you select him? So that's what Prabhupada says. So here, the whole question, this is like one side of the problem. Prabhupada points out the problem in this way, in several purports. People have to be, especially people of the higher castes, they need to be initiated. They need to be twice born, dvija. Generally a brahmana becomes dvija. First birth is seminal birth from parents. Second birth is the birth given by guru, by initiation, right? So that kind of spiritual initiation from a guru is needed, especially in the higher classes like brahmanas and kshatriyas. So when a dvija brahmana, when a twice born brahmana is giving spiritual guidance, and when a twice born kshatriya is ruling the citizens under the guidance of those twice born brahmanas, then the kingdom can be led in a wonderful way. Now, in the modern society, several times the rulers are not twice born, and they don't take any guidance from twice born brahmanas. So what else you expect? Except chaos. So this is what Prabhupada says in the first canto, 16th, 17th chapter, where Parikshit Maharaj's rule was given. So in those purports, Prabhupada mentions this. So twice born people should be ruling. Twice born people should be guiding. Now who are the guides? Who can speculate nicely and write books, right? They themselves may commit suicide after writing a philosophical book or guidebook or whatever. How to excel in one's life, how to do this, how to do that, how to become successful. And they themselves may be frustrated in their lives. So they should be twice born. Second initiation is there. Spiritual initiation from a bona fide guru makes one a proper brahmana or proper kshatriya, right? The Lord is ever unborn, like the sun, and yet He appears as the sun rises on the eastern horizon. As the sun is never the sun of the eastern horizon, so the Lord is no one's son, but He is the Father of everything. There be. So Prabhupada says, Kechi dahur ajam jatam. He is jatam, he has taken birth, but he is aja, he is never born. How can you reconcile both? He gives an example of sun, right? Sun rises from the east, but that doesn't mean eastern horizon is the father or mother of the sun, right? But he appears from there. Similarly, Yadu dynasty or Vasudeva or whoever in the dynasty, they are not the father or forefather of Krishna just because he appeared in the dynasty. He is always unborn, but he just appears from there, just like sun appears from eastern horizon, right? So just like sun appears from east and disappears in the west. That doesn't mean sun is no more existing. When sun sets, you should not think that, oh, sun is died now, right? He's no more there. No. Tomorrow he'll come again. Similarly, when Krishna disappears, that does not mean that's the end of Krishna. When Ram disappears, that does not mean that's the end, the conclusion of Ram. Ram is no more, Krishna is no more. We can't say like that. Just like sun appears again on the next day, Krishna also appears in the next day of Brahma. Similarly, when sun disappears in this hemisphere, he appears in another hemisphere. Similarly, when Krishna disappears in this universe, he appeared in another universe and he is doing pastimes there, like that. So, that's why often this kind of comparisons are given. So, Krishna is like nowhere close to sun. Sun is just one, of course, sun is nowhere close to Krishna. That's how we can actually put. But for our understanding, this kind of comparisons are given. Next.
Aparevasudevasya
Devakyam
yachitobhigat Ajastvam asya kshemaya Vadhaya cha suradvisham.
So, third reason she gives here. Apare vasudevasya devakyam yachitobhyagat. So, Krishna also appeared because of the prayers of Vasudeva and Devaki. Devakyam and Vasudeva, they did yachito. Yachan means to ask, to beg, right, to pray. So, yachito abhyagat. So, Krishna took birth because of the yachana done by Devaki and Vasudeva. They desired that Krishna be born. Then, fourth reason she gives now. Ajastvam asya kshemaya. Asya kshemaya means, asya refers to of him, but another interpretation is for this world also. Asya kshemaya, this world. For the welfare of the people in this world, they have appeared. Then, fifth reason she gives. Vadhaya cha suradvisham. Sura means demigods. Suradvisham means those who envy demigods. Who are the people who envy demigods? Demons. Vadhaya cha. To kill the demoniac people who unnecessarily envy the demigods. Krishna appeared. So, Krishna appeared for five reasons so far. First reason was the, what she gave in the previous verse? To glorify pious kings like Yudhishthir. Second reason? To please devotee king like Yadu. Third reason? In answer to the prayers of Devaki and Vasudev. Fourth reason? To protect people of this world. Fifth reason? To annihilate the demons who envy demigods. Right? Asya kshemaya is one. Vadhaya cha suradvisham. These are the five reasons she mentioned so far. So it is also said that Vasudeva and Devaki in their previous birth as Sotapa and Vrishni, they underwent severe type of penance to get the Lord as their son. And as a result of such austerities, the Lord appeared as their son. Okay. In this context, Prabhupada writes, oh, Devaki and Vasudeva or whatever, Sotapa and Vrishni, they performed so many austerities to bring the Supreme Lord to this world. So Prabhupada says, instead of trying to bring the Supreme Lord to this world, better you do austerities to go back to the Supreme Lord and enjoy with Him in the spiritual world. So to desire that I should have Supreme Lord as a son is also little material desire, right? That is also kind of criticized by acharyas. It's not the best desire. Of course, out of compassion upon the conditioned souls in this world, if a great acharya or a great devotee desires that, oh Lord, please come and rectify the situation here. Please take them back to Godhead. That's a different thing. But to desire that, oh Lord has to become my son. I should have the prestige of becoming the father or mother of the Supreme Lord, the greatest personality in this entire creation. So that is considered little material. These are different perspectives given by acharyas, Prabhupada. So yet, those devotees who desire that Supreme Lord should be their son, although initially it is little material, there is a material tinge in that desire, still, because of having a relation with the Supreme Lord, their desires can be transformed. They develop vatsalya affection. For example, Nabhi wanted a son as good as the Supreme Lord. He performed a sacrifice. Then the Lord came and said, there is no one as good as me. I am only as good as myself. Right? I will become your son. So he became Rishabhadev. So after Rishabhadev appeared, Nabhi developed a vatsalya rasa towards Rishabhadev. Right? And he became a pure devotee. He is already a wonderful devotee, but he had this desire. But later he became Vatsalya. He went into Vatsalya also.
Mm-hmm.
That is out of compassion. Yes, Atma Vidya Guru. So, there are different ways in which Lord appears. If the devotee is pure devotee, so now Lord's parents are also of different categories. Yashoda and Nanda, they are eternal parents of Krishna. Whichever planet, whenever Krishna appears, Yashoda Mai is his mother. So, that relationship, there is no change there. Right? That's a different thing. Now, when it comes to Sutapa and Krishna, they desired that the Lord should become their son. So, Krishna wanted to reciprocate with that desire. And in the case of Nabhi desired that they want to, Nabhi desired that Lord has to become my son. So, Lord appeared and there was an improvement in his spiritual status. He became a devotee of Vatsalya Rasa, right? Now, Atri Muni, he desired that the Supreme Lord should be my son. But he did not have the understanding who is that Supreme Lord, who is that Jagadisha. So, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, all three came in front of Atri and then said, all of three are Supreme Lords in this universe. All of three will be, all of us will become your sons. He says like that. Then, now in that context, Prabhupada says that when a devotee is not pure devotee, he is mixed devotee. He is not an advanced devotee. Still the Lord agrees to become their son. So the output could be of two types. Or the reason could be two types. So one reason is one only. Lord is yayathamam prapadyante. Lord is just reciprocating with the determination of the devotee to fulfill that desire. In the case of Atri Muni, Lord did not see his devotion, but he saw his determination. So, Lord became his son. Right? So, Ethaman Prabhupada principle generally works. Although he is not a pure devotee. But in the other case, already Nabhi was a devotee. But in that case, his devotion was intensified. Atri Muni also might have happened, but Bhagavatam doesn't say, give more details. Bhagavatam gives details about Nabhi. That initially he had a material desire. Even the priests who conducted sacrifice for Nabhi, they also criticized that Nabhi has a material desire. That's why he's asking that you have to become his son. So, yeah. But later, he became a Vatsalya Bhakta. But in Atri's case, that was not mentioned. What happened later, we don't know, as per Bhagavatam. But Prabhupada says that Lord was reciprocating with his determination only. Whenever someone does a determined effort, Lord just reciprocates to that extent only. Make sense, Prabhu? Now, another reason, sixth reason that Kunti Maharani gives in the 34th verse.
Bharavataranayanye Bhuvo Nava Ivodadhau Siddhantya Bhuri Bharena Jato Hyatma Bhuvarthitaha.
So she says that Brahmaji prayed, right? Why he prayed? Bhara Avataranaya. Avataranaya. So just to reduce the Bhara of this world. Just to reduce the burden of this world, Lord appears. Because whenever this world is overburdened, Brahmaji goes to Kshirasagar and offers a prayer. You must have read the Krishna book, first chapter. So Brahmaji takes all the demigods and then he meditates on the Lord. Lord sends a message, yes, I am descending. So she mentions that reason here, right? So to diminish earth's trouble. So Brahmaji, your son has prayed. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, without spiritual contact, matter cannot create. This principle was followed from very beginning of the creation. The Supreme Spirit entered the universe and the first living being, Brahma, was born on a lotus flower grown out of the transcendental abdomen of the Lord. So, Brahma is known as Atma Bhu because he was begotten directly from the father without any contact of Mother Lakshmi. Lakshmi is sometimes called Mother of Brahma. Janudvaya jalajalochanaya jananya lakshmya khilasya saravanditaya vidhatu. So, jalajalochanaya jananya, the lotus-eyed mother of Brahmaji. So why she became the mother of Brahma? She did not give birth to Brahma. She happens to be the wife of the father of Brahma. That's why she is mother of Brahma. Right? That's how she was described. So, an ordinary living being begets a child by sexual intercourse, but Narayana doesn't do so. He is complete and independent to do anything and everything by his various potencies, very easily and perfectly. I can easily do this. Oh, garland making. I can easily do this garland. So, someone may say like that. But it should be perfect also. It should look good also. Not spaced out. See, this whole, the thickness of the garland is uniform throughout. Somebody will put a big flower here, some small flower here, and some medium flower here, some big. And that also doesn't follow a pattern. It's totally Avadhut style. So then, perfection is not there. One may easily do it. So Lord easily can do it and perfectly do it. Some people can expertly do things in a short time and very easily. They don't struggle so much. So Lord is like that. So Brahma is therefore direct son of father and was not put into the womb of a mother. So Lord has created a perfect being called Brahmaji without the assistance of a mother. Very easily he has created from his own abdomen. So Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu. Brahmaji consults and prays to Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu for an incarnation and solution to the problems. Such a problem arose when Kamsa and others were ruling over the earth. And earth became too much overburdened because of the misdeeds of asuras. So Brahmaji then went and prayed. So some people say that Lord appeared because of prayers of Brahmaji. So these are the six reasons that Kunti gives for the appearance of Krishna. Now in the 35th reason, she gives a real reason. Yeah, all these are definitely reasons to please Yadu, to glorify Yudhishthir, to answer the prayers of Devaki and Vasudev, to reduce the burden of the earth, to answer the prayers of Brahmaji, and what else? To kill the demoniac people. These are all reasons, six reasons she gives. But she gives a real reason in the 35th verse. And this is also an answer to the sage's third question. In the first chapter, why did Krishna appear? Right? Purpose of Lord's appearance. Bhavesmin klishyamananam
avidya kama karma bhihi
shravana smarana arhani karishyan iti kechana. Bhavesmin klishyamananam. So klishyamananam means people who are suffering. In this world, people suffer, right? For what? Avidya kama karma bhihi. Avidya means ignorance. Kama is desire. Karma is activity. So their activities are driven by their desire. And their desire is born out of ignorance. Right? Avidya. Because of avidya, there is kama, material desire. Because of kama, there is karma, material activity. Right? So that's why there is klishya. So these four words are connected. Avidya leads to kama, kama leads to karma, karma leads to klishya. Right? Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhihi. Shravana smaranarhani karishyan iti kechana. So, for those people who are suffering like this in this material world, they need a solution. Right? What is that solution? Bhakti. So, some devotees give another reason for Lord's appearance, that is, Lord appears to rejuvenate the process of devotional service that includes Shravana, hearing about the Lord, Smarana, remembering the Lord, and Arhana, means worshipping the Lord, Karishyan iti kechana. So devotees give another reason for Lord's appearance. Lord appears to revive the process of devotional service because the process of devotional service is forgotten over a period of time. How to perform bhakti? Krishna told in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. So he instructed people to perform devotional service. But that message was not taken properly. It was not understood or it was forgotten. So because of whatever reasons, people are unable to follow the instruction of Krishna. So Krishna, after 4,500 years, appears as Lord Chaitanya. And he himself performs devotional service to Krishna and teaches people, this is how you have to perform. When I say, manmana bhav madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru, this is how you have to do. So our Lord Chaitanya himself did it and showed. That is the purpose of Lord's appearance, right, in relation to us. So there are different reasons for which Krishna appears, but there are some reasons that which are directly meant for us. Oh, Krishna descended to have a reciprocation with Devaki, Vasudev. That reason is little too high-fi reason for us to relate with. But he appeared to revive the process of devotional service so that I can practice it. That's little more down-to-earth reason, like that. So, the factual way of religion is to accept the Lord as the supreme authority and thus render service unto Him in spontaneous love. A living being cannot help but render service because he is constitutionally made for the purpose. So, jivera swarupa hai krishnera nitya das. So, to be a das, to be a servant of Krishna, is the swarupa, is the constitutional position of every jiva. Whenever a jiva is desiring not to serve but to become the master and be the recipient of service, he is not in his constitutional position. We can have our own, we can introspect within ourselves. Oh, so many years I have been following this process. Am I desiring to be a servant or am I desiring to be master? Right? Is my desire to render service to devotees, whether they are seniors or juniors or equals, or is it my desire to receive service from people? That's one test that we can conduct on ourselves. Introspect within. Is my service attitude increasing or decreasing? Like that. Because Prabhupada says, a living being cannot help but render service because he is constitutionally made for that purpose. We are made for it. This key is made to unlock the lock so that I can enter the room. That is made for it, for that purpose. With this you can also scratch your head when you have some itch. With this you can do something else. With this you can make some sound. Somebody is sleeping in the class. Hey, don't sleep. Like that someone, you may make some sound. Yeah, this can be utilized for other purpose. The primary purpose is to open the door. Is it not? So similarly, the living entity's primary purpose, the most important, the reason for which he is made is to render service to the Supreme Lord. Right? The service attitude is innate property of every living entity. Right? And anandamayo bhyasat. So, everyone is looking for that pleasure, but that real pleasure is available when he is situated in his constitutional position. Right? If he is somewhere else, he cannot get that pleasure. So, when someone renders service to the Supreme Lord, then we will get spiritual happiness. That ananda is there in seva. That ananda is not there in anything else. Right? So, the Lord is great. And living beings are subordinate to Him. Therefore, the duty of the living being is to just serve Him only. Unfortunately, the illusion living beings, out of misunderstanding only, become servants of the senses of material desire. Servants of the senses by material desire. This desire is called avidya. And out of such desire, the living being makes different plans for material enjoyment centered about a perverted sex life. So basically Prabhupada is elaborating on the first two lines. So because of avidya there is kama, because of kama there is karma, because of karma there is krishya. This is a big loop, right? So much of suffering because of ignorance. And how can that ignorance be mitigated? How can that kama, material desire, be transformed into spiritual desire? How can that karma, that material activity, be transformed into spiritual activity? And how can that klishya, means suffering, be transformed into enjoyment by practicing the process of devotional service? That includes shravana, smarana and arhana. Worshipping the Lord, hearing about the Lord and remembering the Lord. Like that. So the Lord, however, out of His causeless mercy, because He is more merciful to the suffering living beings than they can expect. See, the statements Prabhupada makes. Lord is more merciful than we can expect. So appears before them and renovates the principles of devotional service, comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, cooperating and surrendering unto Him. All the 9 processes. Adoption of all the above mentioned items or any one of them can help a conditioned soul get out of the tangle of nisayans and thus become liberated from the material sufferings created by the living being, illusion by external energy, right? So that is the purpose of Lord's appearance, to rejuvenate the process of devotional service and thus mitigate the material sufferings of conditioned souls. Namo namah klesha vinashanaya nirupitodara gunahvayaya. So like that, prachetas offer a prayer to the Lord. Namo namah klesha vinashanaya. You are the remover of distress of all living entities, of all devotees. Right? Nirupita udara gunahvayaya. You have udara, magnanimous guna, qualities and ahvaya, names. All your qualities and names are magnanimous. Nirupita, this is proved. In the mathematics, you have this theorem, right? So at the end of the theorem, you write, hence proved, right? Similarly, your qualities are magnanimous. Your holy name is magnanimous. Hence proved. The history proves this fact. Like that, Prachetas offered prayer. Satatam janata bhavata paharam paramartha parayana loka gatim. You know, where is this? Sachisatashtakam. Right? Satatam janata bhavata paharam. He is always looking forward to reduce the tapa of janas, people in general. Right? So 36th verse. She, now, while describing the reasons of Krishna's appearance, she ended up in this topic of devotional service. Now, so these are the links. This is the smooth flow between the verses. So now she expands, she describes more about the potency of the devotional process. So that is the 36th verse. Srinvanti gayanti grinantya bhikshnasaha smaranti nandanti tavehitam janaha taeva pashyanti achirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. How many already memorized this verse? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, important verse for tomorrow's exam. Tomorrow by this time you'll memorize already. So srinvanti gayanti grinanti abhikshnasaha. Srinvanti means hearing about the Lord. Gayanti, glorifying the Lord. Grinanti means accepting, right, the Lord's glories, right? So that is grinanti, taking or accepting. Abhikshnasaha. Abhikshnasaha means constantly, not once in a while. We should not hear once in a while, we should not remember once in a while. Regularly we need to do. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So Srinvanti Gayanti Grananti Abhikshnasaha Smaranti means remembering the Lord. Nandanti Tava Ihitam Janaha. What does it mean? Nandanti is taking pleasure. In what? Tava Ihitam. Tava means your, ihitam means activities, your glorification. When there is a glorification of your activities, one should take pleasure. So Prabhupada specifically writes here. When someone is glorifying the Lord, he definitely has some pleasure in glorifying. Not only that, he should take pleasure when others are glorifying the Lord. Right? So one should not desire that I should give lecture, they should not give lecture. I should sing kirtan. Guru Puja Kirtan or whatever, they should not sing. Right? When they sing, I don't enjoy so much. But when I sing, I get ecstatic. Whether others are ecstatic or not, we don't know. But I should sing and they will become ecstatic. Sometimes one may think like that. It's asaka. But here, Prabhupada specifically writes, or take pleasure in others doing so. So all these activities are meant for us to perform. And we also should take pleasure when others are doing these activities. Oh, this devotee is nicely glorifying Krishna. This devotee is nicely singing kirtans of Krishna. This devotee is nicely worshipping the Lord. This devotee is remembering the Lord nicely. Whenever something comes, he says, Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari, he says. Rajasam Prabhu, you know, in the ashram, always he says, Hari, 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 like that. Hari, Hari, Rajasam Prabhu.
Okay. So like that, when you should take pleasure when others are doing performing devotional service. So when someone is in this disposition, ta eva pasyanti, such a person can easily see the Supreme Lord. Ta eva pasyanti achirena tavakam. Achirena means very shortly. One can easily see the Supreme Lord's lotus feet if one has this disposition. Ta eva pasyanti achirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. So bhava pravaha means this material ocean is like, material existence is like a pravaha, flowing river. Right? Now you don't see so much flow. Right? When the monsoon is too much, then you can see there is water flows on our Mount Kohoj. See the mountain. So that is flow. So material existence is like a flow of miseries. Flow of process of birth and death. Flow of transmigration. Flow of lamentation and hankering. That's what material existence is. So bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. Uparamam means one will cross over that pravaha of material existence. Right? So one can easily come out of that pravaha. When there is pravaha, when someone is in the midst of that ocean or river which is constantly flowing with full speed, it's very difficult to come out. Right? But if one takes shelter of these processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, and if one takes pleasure when others are doing it, he can easily cross over that material existence and take shelter and see the Supreme Lord's lotus feet also. Right? This is clear, meaning is clear. So Prabhupada says, one has to change his present vision by developing a different condition of life full of spontaneous love of Godhead. So one needs to develop a different condition of life. The different condition of life is our original condition. That is spontaneous love of God. When Krishna was personally present on the face of the globe, not everyone could see him as Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Ram was there, Ravan could not notice him as Supreme Lord. Kamsa could not notice him, Krishna, as Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada gives other examples, Jarasandha, Shishupala, Hiranyakashipu. Right? So therefore, even though the Lord may be present before our eyes, it is not possible to see him unless we have the necessary vision. So this necessary qualification is developed by the process of devotional service only, beginning with the process of hearing from right sources. Okay. So I am just discussing completely from Prabhupada's purport only. You can just go through the flow. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, repeated, etc. by the people. But in spite of such hearing, etc., sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional service does not see the Lord eye to eye. The reason is, Sravana is very important. Sravana should be done from right sources. Now, many people read Bhagavad Gita. But how many of them follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita? Simply, Prabhupada says, Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. There is no one superior to me, I am the Supreme Lord, Krishna himself says. And Krishna himself says, Manmana bhavaman bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. You should perform devotional service unto me. Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityudya mam ekam saranam raja. All these are directly there in Bhagavad Gita. There are some people, scholars, who analyze that Bhagavad Gita and they read it back to back, they speak also. They don't become devotees of Krishna. What's the problem? Because their reading or hearing is not from the right source. In spite of coming in contact with a right authentic source, why there is no transformation in one's heart? Because the contact is not done through a bona fide via medium. Right? Now, you want that fan to rotate. For that you need to switch on this, you need to put that plug there and then switch it on. Then it will rotate. Now a wire is connecting that fan to this switch. Instead of wire, you take a rassi. Oh, garland they make na, this rassi. You connect that. Right? Connect that fan with this thread to the switch. Will it rotate? Because the medium is missing. the transmitting medium also should have the potency to transmit that electric power from that source to the object, right? Similarly, one may be connected with the right object, but the medium of connection is also very important, is it not? When I was studying in my college, Bangalore, IISc, I had few friends, not friends, classmates you can say, I didn't have much relation. So I was making a drama for our Ganesh Chaturthi. So at that time I just wrote a script and took it. I was gathering some kalakars, artists who can play in my drama. So I went to one guy, and because it's a little philosophical drama, presented in a very comical way. So I just wrote some dialogues and then somehow some philosophical discussion popped up. Then that guy said, Krishna says that everybody is he only. Krishna means God says everybody is he only. Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchit asti anandaya. He quoted this verse, which I was, at that time I didn't read Bhagavad Gita completely, but this verse I was quite familiar and I love this verse. He says, Mattaha parataram nanyat means there is no one different from me. Parataram nanyat. There is no one who is different from me. What is this kind of new interpretation I was hearing? Mattaha parataram means there is no one superior to me. That's what we heard. But he says, there is no one different from me. And another friend, I went to his college hostel room and I saw Bhagavad Gita. He was in BMS. I was in AMS. AMS is vegetarian mess. BMS is non-vegetarian mess. Right? So, he mess. I saw Bhagavad Gita in his room. I said, you read Bhagavad Gita? Yes, I read. I read at least 14-15 times by this time. 14-15 times you read Bhagavad Gita. I started developing some complex. I didn't even read once. Right? I just began 2005, 2006. Then I said, then why do you still eat meat and you don't... what is the purpose of your reading? Just philosophy. You need to have understanding of everything. Right? Not for following. He was quite honest about it. Right? Just for some philosophical understanding and just to have knowledge about different books. I also know Bhagavad Gita. Just to claim like that, I just read. 14-15 times I must have read. But there is absolutely no inclination to apply even an iota of what is mentioned there. And he's quite honest about it. Right? So these things happen. So Prabhupada is very clearly pointing out that Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures. Many people read and hear also. But because they don't hear it from the right source, it does not act quickly. If hearing is from the right source, it acts very quickly. Generally, people hear from unauthorized persons. Such unauthorized persons may be very learned by academic qualifications. But because they do not follow the principles of devotional service, hearing from them becomes a sheer waste of time. Like that. Again, the drama incident I can quote. There is another guy, his name is Sivaram Krishna. Right? He was doing PhD and I was doing ME. So, he is pakka Brahmanical. Right? Like this. He does some small homa also in his hostel room. And then when I showed him the script, he said, hey, it's all in Dvaita. Advaita is the right philosophy. Right? We are mentioning things in a... I didn't have much philosophical understanding at that time. But he said, you are presenting difference between God and living entity. They are one. That you are not mentioning. Right? So I was writing a drama on Yavaru Nenu, means who am I? That was the whole drama script. So he wanted to put in that kind of explanation there. Right? But somehow I didn't agree for all that. So, right understanding. There are different transcendental activities of the Lord and each and every one of them is competent to bestow the desired result, provided the hearing process is perfect. So hearing has to be perfect. We need to have the right source of hearing. So that is the main theme that Prabhupada gives. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference in the transcendental nature of each and every dealing of the Lord. So one should not therefore consider that his dealings with Pandavas are less important than his dealings with the gopis. We must always remember that Lord is always transcendental to all mundane attachment. He is hero in all circumstances, and hearing about him or about his devotees or combatants is conducive for spiritual life. It is said in, therefore, in the Vedas and Puranas that all are all made to receive our lost, revive our lost relationship with Him. Yeah. Whatever is mentioned in the scriptures is meant for reviving our lost relationship with Him. Okay. So that is about the reasons for Krishna's appearance and the potency of devotional service. Now from 37th verse onwards, Kunti Maharani offers a more personal prayer appealing for Krishna's association. Right? We definitely had your association. Vipadaha santutasya svatatra tatra jagadguru. Before that she says, Vishan mahagneh purushada darshanad. So wherever this, whenever this calamities came, you came and protected us. So she says like that. And she is desiring for that association and darshan more and more. So from 37th verse till almost the end of the prayers, that was her appeal for more association. You can see 74th page of Bhagavad Subodhani. So there a bird's eye view of the entire prayers is given, divided into different sections. So that will help you in going through the flow. 37th verse.
Apyajanastvam svakrite hita prabho jihasasi svit suhrdo nu jivina yesham na chanyad bhavatah padam bhujat parayanam rajasu yojitam hasam.
Read the translation. Now she is saying, my dear Lord, now you are going, right? So you are desiring to leave us today? So Krishna might have said, I have some work in Dwarka. I'm here since long time, right? So he came before Kurukshetra war. He was there throughout the war. And after war also, he was for a little while. And when he was about to go, Putra came running. Then he had to protect. Then again he wanted to go, but Kunti Maharani says, now you are desiring to go. Then Krishna said, I have some work in Dwarka. Now Kunti Maharani says, you are Svakritehita. Svakritehita means all your desires are automatically fulfilled. Right? You have some work in Dwarka, all that works are automatically done. Right, they are all automatically accomplished. You don't have to be personally present there. Right, so that is her point. So you don't have to go all the way there. So are you leaving us? So why I am desiring that you have to stay with us? Because now we gained the opulence. Right, so now my sons became the proprietors or kings of this Hastinapur. So other kings are at enmity with us and we have no one else to protect us. We have to be around. Right? So when there is success of a person inspires envy in other people. It's generally like that. And failure of a person will invoke some compassion and sympathy in others. But success inspires envy. That's one test, another test that we need to conduct for ourselves as we are going into this path of devotional service. When another devotee is not successful, to show sympathy or compassion and give support to him could be natural. Sometimes sadhakas may not do that also. Theek hai, jaane do. I have my own thing to do. Janma sarthak kari karo paropakar. So it is like a most misused statement. Right? Why are you not helping him? No, janma sarthak kari. So when someone else is successful, what is my feeling? Am I feeling envious or am I feeling happy? That's another test we can conduct for ourselves. Right? So, now Kunti Maharani says, because we are successful now, people are envying us. So, how can we go? So Pandavas are most fortunate because with all good luck they were entirely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. In the material world, to be dependent on the mercy of someone else is at most sign of misfortune. But in the case of transcendental relationship with the Lord, it is most fortunate case when we can live completely dependent on Krishna. Complete dependence on Krishna is the most fortunate situation. Right? It's not a matter of shame or humiliation. So depending on someone else is a matter of shame and prestige. Humiliation for people. Hey, how can I take help from him? I'm supposed to be self-sufficient. So people take pleasure in being independent and self-sufficient. But depending on the Lord is wonderful. Bhavantam evanucharam nirantara prashanta nishyesha manorathantara. So the whole material world is moving on this false attempt to become independent of the laws of nature. But the highest goal of human civilization is to work hard under the guidance of the Lord and become completely dependent on Him. Even the Dwarkavasis says, Bhavaya nastvam bhavavishva bhavana tvameva matata suhrut patihpita tvam sadgururna paramamcha daivatam yasyana vrittya kritamo bubhuvina. It's there in Ratnamala also, you can see. So, Bhavaya nastvam bhavavishva bhavana. My dear Lord, you are like our father, mother, well-wisher, friend, husband. So we are completely dependent on you, and if we follow in your footsteps, if we follow your injunctions, then there is all success. Otherwise, no success. So success means dependent on Krishna. To accept Krishna as one superior. Such a person is called Sanatha. He has one Natha. Other people who do not accept Krishna as their Natha are Anatha. Aho sanatha bhavatasma yadvayam traivishtapanam api duradarshanam prema smita snigdha nirikshanananam pashyema rupam tava sarva saubhagam. Like that Dwarakavasis prayer. Aho sanatha, oh my dear Lord, you are our real master. Now that you have come back to Dwaraka to see us, to grace us with your blessings and association, we have become sanatha. So far we didn't have natha. Right, so having a Natha means having a master, a protector, a person whom on whom we can depend on. Right, such a person should be there. So, yes, please. Let me complete this purport. All the members of Pandava family were Mahatmas in household life. Maharaj Yudhishthir was the head of these Mahatmas, and Queen Kunti Devi was the mother. So, for them, separation from the Lord was just like the separation of a fish from water. See, Krishna is about to leave. Now there will be separation. So, this kind of separation they could not tolerate. Now you can go to, in this context, just a contextual reference. Go to 10th chapter, verse number... Go to verse number 11 and 12. It's page number 160 in your small book. So that shows the relationship between the Pandavas and Krishna. Satsangan mukta dussango hatum notsahate buddhaha. Kirtyamanam yasho yasya sakridakarnya rochanam. Tasmin yastadhiyah partha hasaheran viraham katham darshana sparsha samlapa shayanasana bhujanavihi. So here it is mentioned that all the Pandavas had all kinds of exchanges with Krishna. Darshana, they are seeing Krishna every day. Sparsha, they were touching Krishna every day. Samlapa, they were conversing with Krishna. Shayana, they were sleeping with Krishna. Ashana, they were eating with Krishna. Ashana is not eating. Ashana is sitting. Asana, Shayana asana. Asana is sitting with Krishna. Then Bhojanaihi is, they are eating together. Six exchanges, six loving exchanges. So they were having such intimate exchanges with Krishna. So when Krishna was about to leave Hastinapur, what's happening? Saheran viraham katham tasmin nyastadhiyaha parthaha. Nyastadhiyaha means they are completely devastated with the thought that Krishna is about to leave us. Right? Saheran viraham katham. How can they tolerate separation? So whenever we connect with other people, with the six loving exchanges, we have, what are the six loving exchanges that Rupa Goswami says? Dadati pratigrahanati, guhyamakhyati pruchyati, bhumte bhojayati. So whenever you connect with other people with these six loving exchanges, no, there is a bonding that is formed. Right? It's a quite a long-term impression. So when there is a situation where you have to get separated from those people with whom you had these six loving exchanges, then it's very difficult for the mind to take it. It's very difficult to accept that kind of situation. Hey, he's no more there with me. I have been eating with him, sleeping with him, conversing with him, revealing my heart in confidence with him, and now he's no more with me. So that kind of creates a devastating experiences. To the degree your six loving exchanges are intense, to that degree you will get affected when you are separated from your friend. Right? So we need to carefully choose with whom are we having these six loving exchanges. If it is with the devotees, that's wonderful. Even with devotees also, it's not very easy to have relationship with other devotees for a long time. Because of various services, people have to be at different places. They keep on changing. Now 2 years you are here, you will have loving bondings in these 2 years with Bhagavatam in center. The subject matter for your discussion amongst all these 13-14 devotees is Bhagavatam. So you will have loving exchanges. You are eating together at 1 o'clock, at 7:30, at 6:30. You are reciting verses together. But after 2 years, separation. So it's very difficult to tolerate that separation. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. So for them, separation from the Lord was just like the separation of a fish from water. It is not only the Pandavas who were put into the condition of enmity. Now Prabhupada mentions about the enmity part, because other kings were envious of Pandavas, right? Prabhupada writes, it is not only the Pandavas who were put into the condition of enmity, but all of us are always in such a condition. And the best way of living is to become completely dependent on the will of the Lord and thereby overcoming difficulties of material existence. Right? So, although everybody is in this condition of enmity and then suffering, it's little difficult to acknowledge it. But Kunti Maharani immediately says, okay, someone, you had a question. You also had a question, Babu, Atma Vidya Babu. Which reference? I mentioned, that's one thing. Another reference is 10. One more I quoted. Bhavayanastum bhavistava bhavana. That is from 1st canto, 11th chapter. It's in 7th or 8th verse. You can see. 7th maybe. Yeah. No.
Hare Krishna.
I didn't get to. What is the question?
Like when you say that we should completely depend on Krishna for our requirements.
Mm.
So suppose we
for
are
requirements. Okay.
For anything.
Okay.
So suppose there is one resource. Mm. So how to understand that particular resource which we need is coming from Krishna, or should we accept it or not? We need that resource.
Hmm.
But
need.
We are,
what is the?
We need for devotional service, of course. But should we accept it or not, or should we say that
if you need for devotional service and it is available, accept it and engage in devotional service.
Do we not need to see the particular source, like from what source this is coming?
Okay, you are in need of prasadam, and some food is coming from. Say some non-bona fide source, right? Sometimes you may travel in train, and what is that? They put some funny things in kurmura, bhel or something like that. The bhel wala will come, he'll put some onion also. Maharaji, aapke liye le lo, paisa nahi chahiye, le lo. Will you take it?
No, we should reject that, of course.
Yeah.
But
so if, simple, Bhagavatam says, third canto, 21st or 22nd chapter says, if you are in need of something, and if it is coming from a bona fide source, and if the object that you are needing is not forbidden object, you can accept it. And rejecting that kind of object which is coming from a bona fide source when you are in the need is foolishness.
Like for example, like when you see the example of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he was rejecting everything. And he was waiting on the stairs of Lord Jagannath temple and accepting the union. Means depending on Krishna means I will not accept anything from you, I will just depend on Krishna. Whatever way he wants to keep me, he will keep me.
See, when we hear the examples of his great souls, he can survive with 3 drops of buttermilk. He can survive with the reject grains, which after horses or cows have eaten. He can do like that. Can we do like that? So,
but
someone asked, Nimai Lila Guru asked the same question to His Holiness Radhanaswami Maharaj. That same question. Raghunath Das Goswami is setting such a high example. What are we supposed to do? Right? It may take more endeavor to go and collect those reject grains than to just take prasadam what is available. Maharaj gave a simple answer that whatever temple provides you, just accept it and eat. And we don't have to endeavor to get prasad from some other sources. Something like that. Right?
Some devotee wants to come for this Vidyapitam course. Now he needs some expenses. Some 10-20,000 he needs. The temple is unable to provide him the expenses.
Okay.
But his family members, they are ready, that will pay for you. So what he should do, like the temple, his authorities, like what you told, they are not paying him. But suppose he knows that if I will ask my parents, then they will provide me the amount. So what should he do now? He should reject the money which is coming from his father. Because it's not coming from Krishna, like from the temple. Should you understand in that way, or in what way you should understand the entire picture?
You got the principle, right?
Yes.
Principle is clear. So the principles are applied in particular circumstances in a very subjective way. Now, we can't give a black and white answer to the question that you are asking. It totally depends on the person. The student who is desiring to come, what is his background, what are his motivations behind coming, why the temple authorities are rejecting. So there are different things that needs to be considered, right? So you can, these kind of situations have to be evaluated on a case-to-case basis, considering the particular people who are involved, particular circumstances in which, according to time-place circumstances, that is like, that's the simple statement. I can say. So you can't give a black and white answer sitting somewhere. The principle is that if it is a bona fide need and if the thing is coming from a right source and the need is not forbidden, then one may accept. And definitely if there is any confusion about it, one should immediately consult his superior authorities, who are more mature in devotional service, more experienced in the practice of devotional service. You can go and consult them. Right? They can give, with their maturity and experience, they can give a better understanding of the whole situation. Getting right? It's subjective. Anyone wants to say anything about it? Probably.
केवयं नाम रूपाभ्याम् यदुभिः सह पांडवाः भवतो दर्शनं यर्हि हृषीकाणाम् इवेशितुः.
As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities along with the Pandavas and the others will end at once.
So Kunti Maharani, she desired that Krishna should stay back. You don't go, please stay with us. Why? We need protection. Other people are envious of us. If they come and attack, who will protect us? Just now war ended and this fellow Ashwatthama had sent a Brahmastra to kill my sons, to kill my grandson. So, to kill my grandson, whatever. So, who will protect us? You should be around. Then Krishna might say, no, you have Bhima, you have Arjuna, they are all powerful warriors, right? And you have Dharmaraj, personification of dharma along with you, that is Yudhishthir. So why do you need me for protection? Then she immediately says in 38th verse that without soul, the strong body and the senses are useless. Similarly, without you, the prowess of Arjuna, prowess of Bhima, the dharmic inclinations of Yudhishthir, they are all sustaining on you only. Without you, it's like body without soul. Like that, she immediately expresses her dependence on Krishna. Like that. So, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, Yudhishthir, who is morality personified, and the Yadus are undoubtedly great allies. But without the guidance of Krishna, all of them are non-entities. Non-entities, see? As much as the senses of a body are useless without the guidance of consciousness. No one should be proud of his prestige, power and fame without being guided by the favor of the Supreme Lord. The living beings are always dependent, and ultimate dependable object is Lord himself. Right? He is Sharanyam, he is Bhrityanugraha Kataram. So everybody is dependent on Krishna. So the dependence of Arjuna and Bhima and Krishna, you can see in this volume, it is there. No, it's not there. It's only up to 12th chapter, right? You can see first canto, 15th chapter. Arjuna was remembering all the favors that Krishna has done. He says, Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurupina Yename Apahritam Tejo Deva Vismapanam Chayat. So, in Krishna's absence, my power has become useless. Right? I could mesmerize even the great demigods also with my prowess, with my Gandiva bow, etc. But now, it's gone. Right? I could not even defeat some cowherds also. Yasya kshanaviyogena loko hyapriya darshanaha uktena rahito hiyesha mritakah prochyate yatha. Yasya kshanaviyogena means, by a moment of separation from Krishna, loko hi apriya darshanaha, all the universes appear unfavorable to us. Uktena rahito hiyesha mritakah prochyate yatha. They all appear like dead bodies devoid of life. To that extent, Pandavas, Arjuna, is experiencing separation from Krishna when Krishna is not there. Right? Same thing is expressed by Kunti also. We are all like so, senses are body without any soul, if you are away from us. 39th verse. Neyam shobhishyate tatra yathe danim gadadhara tvatpadair ankita bhati svalakshana vilakshitaha.
O Gadadhara Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so.
Neyam shobhishyate tatra. Na iyam shobhishyate. Shobha means glory, auspiciousness, shining. Now, after Krishna leaves, that land, Isya means, the Iyam means this land, this our kingdom, will not shine, right? Will not appear beautiful. Yathedanim Gadadhara. O Supreme Lord Krishna, this will not be like this when you are around, when you are not around. So sometimes, some personalities, they make such a great impact in the surroundings, that in their absence, the whole surroundings become totally vacant. There may be 100 people around, but if that one person is not there, it seems really blank, right? Although there may be 1,000 people there, if that one person comes there, he will just lift up the spirits, right? So that one person's presence is very important. That makes the whole atmosphere very vibrant. So especially if it is Krishna, and if it is Krishna's representative, his pure devotee, it is like that. Right? So, beauty of our life is the presence of Krishna. That's why Krishna was living in Vrindavan, and at one point Akrura comes and says, I will take him to Mathura. Not a single Vrijavasi agreed to this proposal. And finally, after a long meeting, big discussion, that went throughout the night. Garga Samhita describes very elaborately what happened when Akrura brought this message, invitation from Kamsa. Invitation, where is it coming from? From Kamsa. For what? Wrestling. Right? So it was totally bewildering. But Krishna had a track record of killing so many demons. So all the people, all Vrajavasis, especially cowherd men, elderly cowherd men, they had a big meeting and they finally concluded that, okay, fine, we can spare Krishna for 2 days. Right? 2 days he can go and then come back for so. Right? So the day after tomorrow he should come back after killing Kamsa. They were confident that he already had a track record of killing so many demons. We are confident that he can kill Kamsa also if he does some mischief. But if we deny the order of king, that fellow will come to Gokul and then he will attack the entire village. So better we follow whatever is his instruction, and Krishna will do the needful anyways. Right? Why to kill, why to bring that fellow into Vrindavan? Better our Krishna go there and then do something. So like that, with great difficulty they used their whatever rational analysis and then came to this kind of little conclusion. But Purnamasi came there and she said, if Krishna goes, definitely there will be some welfare for some devotees. But his coming back could be delayed, like the Purnamasi kind of gave a small hint. And yeah, there was a big discussion. I will not get into all that. It's not the right context. But only one point I wanted to mention is, Krishna's absence, the thought of Krishna's absence can create such churning in the hearts of his loving devotees that they cannot conceive of a circumstance where, oh, Krishna will not be with us even for 2 days, even for 3 days. They can't handle it. Especially the gopis. Throughout the night, they gathered together in groups and they started discussing amongst themselves. What happened to all these elders? They are sending Krishna. Are they not realizing that they are sending their life away from their bodies? Right? They have gone mad or what? Why nobody is coming forward and stopping this incident? Why people are allowing Krishna to go out of Vrindavan? So whole night they were conversing like that. When the morning came, when Akrura was about to take Krishna and Balram on a chariot, all the gopis. So gopis always had this kind of emotions for Krishna, but they could never express. There is a lot of gap between their emotion and expression. Because of social customs and because they were girls, women, how can women just go and publicly express their emotions towards another boy? It's a little difficult. So always they were trying to hide their emotions towards Krishna. But this time they could not contain themselves. They just came out of their homes on the street. Some people were lying on the street. If you want to go to Mathura, pass through our dead bodies. Your chariot should go over our dead bodies. Right? Some people just caught the horses. Some people started beating the horses. Some people just pulled out the chariot driver and then started beating him. Right? Some people just caught Krishna. Some people caught Balram. Some people caught the chariot wheels like that. They were doing all kinds of things. And they are all ladies. So Krishna, they could not conceive of Krishna's absence at all, even for 1 or 2 days. Because everybody kind of forcefully or circumstantially or in an obligatory way believed that Krishna will come back in 2 days. But only gopis suspected that he may not come back. That's why they were coming like this. So Krishna's absence is highly difficult for dear devotees to conceive. And Kunti Maharani, right, although their devotions are in a little different plane, but Kunti Maharani is also feeling so much separation from Krishna. You can't go. If you go, we are like bodies without soul. Please stay back. So these marks impressed upon the soft dust of this land where the Lord traverses. This lotus feet, Lord's lotus feet had these impressions. Flag, thunderbolt, this elephant, goat, umbrella, lotus, disc, etc. What is that verse? Sanchintaye bhagavatas charanaravindam Vajrankusha dhaja saroruha lanchanadhyam Uttunga rakta velasan nakachakravala jyotsnabhirahata mahadhrudayandhakaram. You know this verse? It's there in the third canto, describing the lotus feet of the Lord. It's there in Ratnamala, you can see. So, all when Krishna traverses on the land of Vrindavan, all these auspicious marks are impressed upon the soft dust of Vrindavan like this. So, the glory of that land is those footprints of Krishna. All the gopis glorify in the Venu Gita. They say that Vrindavanam sakhi bhuvo avitano tikirtim yad devaki sutapadambuja labdha lakshmi govinda venu manumodamayura nrityam yairvani pitamanurakta kataksha moksham. Vrindavanam sakhi bhuvo avitano tikirtim. This land of Vrindavan is spreading the glories of this earthly planet. Vitanoti kirtim, the kirti, the glories of Vrindavan are spread all over the universe. What is the special glory of the small tract of land in this vast planet? Yad Devaki Suta Padambuja Labdha Lakshmi. Devaki Suta is son of Yashoda. Yashoda and Devaki are so close friends, sometimes Yashoda is called Devaki also. Otherwise, why would gopis glorify Krishna as son of Devaki? Son of Yashoda. That too, not when Krishna just left Vrindavan also. Krishna was in the middle of Vrindavan. This is before Rasalila also. So, Devaki Suta Padambuja Labdha Lakshmi. The land of Vrindavan has acquired the wealth of the lotus feet of Krishna. Everywhere else Krishna may wear chappal, but in Vrindavan Krishna will never wear slippers. Right? Krishna's direct footprints are constantly imprinted on the land of Vrindavan. Not a bird or a beast or a monkey or a cow or a calf or a gopa or gopi would disturb those footprints. Where is Krishna now? People can easily find out without any phone. Right? They'll just follow the footprints of Krishna. These footprints are traversing this way? Okay, I will go this way. They can easily figure out where is Krishna. Like that. So, same thing Prabhupada is saying here. The marks of flag, thunderbolt and instrument to drive, elephant, umbrella, lotus, disc, etc. are on the bottom of Lord's feet. These marks are impressed upon the soft dust of the land where the Lord traverses. Kava saheta viraham purushottamasya. This mother Bhumi, she says that how can we tolerate separation from Krishna? Kava saheta viraham purushottamasya premavaloka ruchirasmita valgujalpaihi sthairyam samanam haran madhumanyinam romotsavo mama yadanghri vitankitaya. So, romotsavo means utsava is celebration. Romotsava means because of that celebration, her romas, her hairs were standing on end. What are the hairs of Mother Earth? All these soft grasses and trees, plants. So, Mother Earth's hairs were standing on end when Krishna was traversing on her surface. Right? Romotsavo mama yadanghri vitankitaya. Prabhupada is saying that. The land of Hastinapur was marked while Lord Krishna was there with the Pandavas, and the kingdom of the Pandavas thus flourished by such auspicious signs. Kunti Devi pointed out these distinguished features and was afraid of ill luck in the absence of Krishna. Ill luck. Right? So, there are so many devotees who received association of Krishna when Krishna descended on this planet. But who is that one devotee who got maximum association of Krishna? Earth. Krishna is always in touch with earth. Whenever he jumps up to kill some demon or just flies to heavenly planets to get Parijata for Satyabhama, etc. Otherwise, 125 years he was on earth, constantly in touch with earth. So what is the extent of separation that Mother Earth feels when Krishna is not there? The land of Hastinapur also is glorious, because it seems, according to Prabhupada's purport, Krishna must be walking on Hastinapur land also barefoot sometimes. But in Vrindavan he walks barefoot, no doubt about it. 40th verse. Ime janapadaha svraddha supakvaushadhi virudaha vanadri nadyudan udanvato
All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits. The rivers are flowing. The hills are full of minerals. and the ocean full of wealth, and this is all due to your lancing over them.
Whatever prosperity that our kingdom has, so towns and villages are ime janapadaha surdaha, towns and villages are flourished with aushadhi, herbs, virudhaha. Virudhaha is vegetables, vana, forests, adri, hills, nadi, rivers, udanvataha, seas. So like that, this prosperity of our kingdom is only because of your presence and your pleasure. When Krishna is pleased with us, that is our prosperity. When Krishna is present with us, that is our prosperity. Right? There are unlimited disturbances in Vrindavan when Krishna was present in Vrindavan. Every now and then some demon comes and disturbs the peace of Vrindavan. Even demigods also create some disturbance in Vrindavan. Indra, Brahma, etc. But no Vrajavasi, even in their dreams, thought that let's check out Krishna from Vrindavan. Before he appeared in our lives, we were very peaceful. But when Krishna is here, so many demons are coming. Vatsasur, Aghasur, Bakasur, Jisasur, Datasur. So all the Vrajavasis, they had a big meeting. When we were in Gokul, so many demons are coming attacking. Putana came with a poisoned breast. And Trinavarta came. Then Yamalarjuna trees fell down. So many demons are attacking. I think we should change the place. Just to protect Krishna and Balaram, entire community of Vrajavasis, they shifted from Gokul Mahavan to Vrindavan. Just in one day. And as soon as they shifted, Vatsasur came, Bakasur came, both on the back-to-back demons. Krishna was given charge of calves, Krishna took there, all the calves, and Vatsasur was there, in the form of a calf. Then Bakasur came and swallowed Krishna, and even Balaramji also fainted, seeing that. So, calamities did not stop, but not a single Vrajavasi was thinking that, let's avoid Krishna, we should not have Krishna with us, no. Devotee means, whatever may be the calamity, if Krishna is with me, I will tolerate all of that. No problem. So what is the root, what is the personal application point for us here? If one is rooted in hearing about Krishna on a regular basis, he can tolerate any kind of sufferings in the material world. This verse comes towards the end of the 11th chapter of 10th canto.
Iti nandadayo gopa krishna rama katham muda kurvanto ramamanasya navindam bhavavedanam.
All the gopas headed by Nanda, what are they doing? Iti nandadayo gopa krishna rama katham muda. With great happiness they were discussing about Krishna and Ram. Ram is Balaram. Kurvanto ramamanasya, same thing is mentioned again. They were doing their Krishna katha with great happiness and pleasure. Navindam bhavavedanam. So they never experienced any material miseries, although there are unlimited calamities in Vrindavan. How to stay aloof from the experience of calamities in the midst of calamities? To be rooted in Krishna Katha. That's what Vrajavasis are teaching us. Right? So real prosperity is Krishna's presence. That's what Kunti Maharani is also teaching. Vipada Santuta says, let there be unlimited calamities, but we cannot afford to lose you. We want you to be with us. That is her prayer. Human prosperity flourishes by natural gifts and not by gigantic industrial enterprises. So now that Janapadaha came, Supakva, Aushadhi, then vegetables and forests and rivers, seas, hills, etc., all these natural elements came, right? Elements of nature. Then Krishna Prabhupada elaborates on the difference between eco-living, eco-friendly living and industrial societies, right? So human prosperity flourishes on natural gifts and not by gigantic industrial enterprises. The gigantic industrial enterprises are products of godless civilization and they cause the destruction of noble aims of human life. These natural gifts such as grains, vegetables, fruits, rivers, hills, etc., they are supplied by the order of the Supreme. The natural law is that human beings may take advantage of these godly gifts by nature,
and satisfactorily flourish on them without being captivated by the exploitative motive of lording over material nature. Exploitative motive of lording over material nature. Let's extract forcefully the natural resources and utilize them, process them and utilize them for our sense gratification, and live a very passionate life, live a very ignorant life. So that is the modern propaganda. The purpose says, accept the gifts that the Mother Earth naturally gives you and flourish on them. Don't try to extract, squeeze out. Mother cow is happy and she gives milk when she is happily maintained. But if we try to extract more milk from mother cow, she is not very happy. Right? So, the more we attempt to exploit material nature under our whims of enjoyment, the more we shall become entrapped by the reaction of such exploitative attempts. But all these natural gifts are dependent on the mercy of the Lord. What we need therefore is to be obedient to the laws of the Lord and achieve perfection of human life by devotional service. Right? So, nature will be favorable towards us when we worship the Lord, because nature acts according to the order of the Supreme Lord. 41st verse 42 43. Should we complete these three verses and take break, or shall we take break now only? 11 sorry.
Atha vishvesha vishvatman vishvamurte svakeshume sneha pashamimam chindi dridham pandushu vrishnishu. Atha vishvesha vishvatman. Oh, soul of the universe, you are soul of every single element in the entire cosmic manifestation. There are three super souls, you know, right? Karanodaka Sai Vishnu is the super soul of entire material creation, and Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu is the super soul of one universe. Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu is the super soul of every living entity and every atom, it is said. So who are they? They are expansions of Krishna. They are expansions of expansions of expansions of Krishna. Right? You missed the first chapters. You learn more. You try to recover. So Atha Vishvesa Vishvatman Vishvamurte Svakeshumi. So your Vishvamurti, the personality of universal form. So now she says, Svakeshume Sneha Pasham. Svakeshume means I have some relationship with my relatives, with my kinsmen. What is that? Sneha Pasham. That sneha, the affection I have, is like a pasham, a rope, the ties. Any investment in a relationship creates some bondage if it is on a material plane. Right? So, Svakeshume Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi. Please cut off this bondage that I have created with my kinsmen because of material affection. Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridham. And this bondage of affection is very tight, Dridham, very strong. Pandushu Vrishnishu, two places. Now here in this context, what our Kunti was thinking is that I am asking him to stay back. Right? For what? For the welfare of my sons, Pandavas. Right? Now if I ask him to stay back, my parental family, the Vrishnis, will suffer. Right? So I think he should go back, so that my parental family gets affection, gets his association. But if he goes back, my sons will suffer, this family will suffer. Then she was thinking that, Are, why am I caught up in these dualities? I am desiring Krishna's association for my kinsmen. Right? Sometimes I am thinking that he has to be with my sons, sometimes I am thinking that he has to be with my parental family. So I am little diverted by this dualities or partialities of family connections. Then she realizes that I am thinking in terms of family connections. Cut off these family connections. Right? Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnishu. Cut off my relationship with Pandus also, Pandavas also.
cut off my relationship with Vrishnis also. No relationship, no material relationship with Pandava's family, no material relationship with parental family. So that I can just focus on you only. See, what is the point here? All these people are Vaishnavas. But even if they are Vaishnavas, if there is another extra addition of family tie, we cannot be so unbiased. For example, we are giving a class to say 100 people in the audience. IVS, you are an IVS preacher, just think about it. You are an IVS preacher and you are giving class to 100 people. One of them happens to be your brother. Right? Definitely somewhere in some corner of your heart, some extra attention may be there towards that brother. Right? Another 99 IVS boys and this one fellow are not seen. Right? Because there is sneha passion. So, sneha pasham imam chindi. Please cut off this family affection. I want relationship with this Vrishnis and I want relationship with this Pandavas because they are exalted Vaishnavas. Please let our relationship continue on that plane. But whatever material aspect of our relationship is there as family members, sons and father, mother, etc., that you cut off. So, she is not being indifferent to Pandus and Vrishnis. She wants the relationship, but the material aspect of that relationship she wants to cut. Is this clear? So, one has to be very careful in dealings with family members. There is always a scope of getting diverted by the extra material aspect of that relationship. Right? At the same time, we have to be very kind and affectionate and empathetic towards them. We should not be indifferent towards them. We should not abuse them. We should not ridicule them. Hey, you are not devotee. Yeah, that's alright. Not like that. We should be grateful for whatever service they have done. So all this is wonderful, valid. But one should not ignore that little extra thing also. One has to be very careful. Lord Chaitanya, he after taking sannyas, he went to Shantipur. At Shantipur, Lord Chaitanya stayed for a few days. Actually, Nityananda Prabhu tricked him. He showed Yamuna, he showed Ganga and said it is Yamuna. Right? And Mahaprabhu started offering very innocently, he started offering prayers to Yamuna, Ganga, thinking that it is Yamuna. Right? Chidananda Bhano, Sadananda Suno, Paraprema Patri, Drava Brahma Gatri, Aghanam Lavitri, Paraprema Patri. Right? Aghanam Lavitri, Jagat Kshema Dhatri, Pavitri Kriyanna Vapur Mitra Putri. Like that he offered prayers. And eventually he came to Advaita Acharya's house at Shantipur. And at Shantipur, he was staying for a while and Sachimata came there. And so many other people came there. And for several days, Mahaprabhu was living with all these relatives and at one point he said, I want to leave. Then someone came and requested that please stay for some more time. Okay, Mahaprabhu agreed. Few more days. He stayed. Then finally, Sachimata decides that let him be at Jagannath Puri, so that I keep getting news about him. And he also is not unnecessarily blamed that he is living close to the relatives. So he can stay at Jagannath Puri. So it was decided there. Then Mahaprabhu started moving towards Jagannath Puri. All these devotees, all the family members of Lord Chaitanya and all the friends at Shantipur, they were all great devotees. Advaita Acharya and so many other exalted people were there. So Mahaprabhu left all of them and he just proceeded. Advaita Acharya literally fainted when Mahaprabhu was leaving. But Kaviraj Goswami describes that Mahaprabhu left that scene with nirapeksha, indifference. In that context, Prabhupada writes that sadhus are softer than roses and harder than thunderbolts. Right? So Mahaprabhu, so far he was very affectionate, but in this context, he could not, his heart did not melt. No, I cannot afford to stay back because this family affection may again pull me into this family thing. Right? He was kind of setting an example, not that he will be pulled like that, but that the word nirapeksha is used. He indifferently left. So the external aspect of family relationship could become a potential disturbance in one's devotional service if one is connected with them. Right. So she is wanting to, Kunti Maharani wants that external aspect of family relationship to be cut off, but she wants to maintain that relationship with Vrishnis and Pandavas because they are devotees. Like that. Even in our demigod worship also, we should respect demigods. We should offer obeisances to them. Right? There's nothing wrong. However, we should not worship them as independent lords. Right? Keeping Krishna aside and then having a relationship with other people is not proper. Right? For example, there is a tree, and on this side there are some branches, on the other side there are some branches. The leaf on this branch wanted to associate with the leaf on that branch, which is far aside. He said, hey, we don't meet together only. We are such close friends, but we don't have the opportunity to stay together. This tree is coming in between, this branch is coming in between. So the leaf gets disconnected from the tree, and from the other side that leaf also gets disconnected from that branch, and they come, stay together closely. They kiss each other, they embrace each other. They stay for a long time. How long? 2-3 days? After that they'll become dry, brown powder, right? So our relationship with each other should be with the tree of Krishna in center. Keeping aside Krishna and Krishna's service and Krishna's bhakti and hearing about Krishna, we just can't stay together. Our staying together and our relationships with each other are not substantial when Krishna is not in center. Krishna's service is not in center. Krishna katha is not in center. Krishna's worship is not in center. So then the relationships are not substantial. Now she wants to really remove that kind of insubstantial external aspect of that relationship. Sneha pasham imam chindi dradham pandushu vrishnishu. Right? That kind of sneha I don't want. That is pasha, that is bondage. But inspiring each other in performing devotional service better. Oh, here is a great devotee. He chants so nicely. Sitting next to him, I also become inspired to chant like him nicely. He studies Bhagavatam nicely. I also want to study Bhagavatam like this. Right? He is doing so many services wonderfully. I take inspiration from him to do services. So, when that is the reason for your coming in touch with other devotees, that is a more sustainable relationship than having so many external things, external reasons. Oh, he is my friend because we both are from Andhra Pradesh. He is my friend because we both are from same base. You know, this is a base concept, you know that, right? So, some young devotees, you know that? You don't know? Okay, fine. Others can tell you. Right, some voice, base, yoga, like that. Some young devotees, practicing devotees, they may be college students or they may be working professionals, they stay together at one place, right? Oh, we are from same base, they come into ashram and then they stay together, okay. So, yeah, that could be a beginning of a relationship. Oh, he likes halwa, I also like halwa. So, we both have same taste, we are friends. Or, he doesn't like halwa, I like halwa. Whenever he gets halwa, he gives me. So, he's my friend. So, these are all these external considerations could begin a relationship, but they are not the main reasons for relationship. He's a devotee of Krishna. He gives me inspiration to perform devotional service. So, it's worth maintaining relationship with him. So like that. Sneha pasham imam chindi. Now Prabhupada writes, the theme of this purport is skin relation versus soul relation. Nice theme, right? Skin relation versus soul relationship. Like that. So a pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. So, householders. So, Kunti wished that Krishna remain with her sons, Pandavas. But by doing so, her parental house would be bereft of the benefit. I already explained this. So, a pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens the activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. This is the key element here, key point. Pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection with family and does what? And widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. Means a devotee may come out of one small family where there are 4, 5 people or 10 people, where there is brother, sister, mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, uncle, aunt, nephew, vagara, vagara. He will come out of that small family and enters a bigger family where he unites with so many practicing devotees and he inspires so many others also to practice devotional service like that. So to cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a Brahman, a king or a public leader or a devotee of the Lord. So cutting off family relationship does not mean becoming irresponsible to your obligations. Prabhupada writes, Prabhupada quotes this verse, Devarshi Bhutatta Nanam Pitrunam Nakinkaro Nayam Ranisa Rajan Sarvatmanaya Saranam Saranyam Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kattam. So one is relieved from all obligations from Devarshis, Rishis. Devas is demigods, Rishis, sages. Devarshi Bhuta, living entities in general, Apta, relatives, Ranam, men in general, citizens in general, Pitrunam, forefathers. He is relieved of all these debts, provided he takes shelter of Lord Mukunda's lotus feet. If one does not take shelter of Lord's lotus feet, and if he is not, he is oblivious to family responsibilities also, the simple law of whatever, karma or responsibility, whatever you may name it, that will act. He is spaced out in devotional service also, and he causes a lot of pain to parents also. What will happen? Right? So he has to face that consequences. So one has to take shelter. Gato mukundam parihritya kattam. So that responsibility factor is there. That makes sense, Prabhu? Now, overnight one cannot become a pure devotee. My understanding is, Maharaj, Radhanath Swami Maharaj says that in 2007 Vyas Puja address, I remember, that was the first Vyas Puja I ever attended. There are two kinds of pure devotees. One pure devotee is, who is actually pure, is very an exalted platform of devotional service. Another pure devotee is, who is endeavoring to become pure devotee, right? If there is an honest endeavor to take shelter of Lord's lotus feet, that is wonderful. One may not be able to take shelter overnight. Okay, I just left family, I entered, say, Brahmachari ashram, I have become a pure devotee now. Not like that. There is a process, right? So there is an honest endeavor towards that path. As long as that honest endeavor is there, that's wonderful. That makes sense to you? Fake it till you make it, you say, right? But faking it with no intention to making it, that's the problem. Like that. You are saying something? Make it or fake it. Fake it till you make it. Make it or fake it is not there. Till you make it. Means you have an intention to make it, but you need some time to make it. Right? Intention should be there. So the Lord, out of his special affinity towards a weak devotee, breaks the family affection by force of circumstances arranged by his all-powerful energy. Now, this verse is there. Prabhupada, his own example. Prabhupada asked his wife, "You want tea or me?" She said, "Tea." Then Prabhupada said, "Okay, fine. Bye-bye." He went to Krishna, like that. So, some kind of these things happened. So by doing so, he causes the devotee to become completely dependent on him and thus clears the path for his going back to Godhead. So I think I should not delay the break so much, but I will conclude with one small story. After that we will take a break. 42nd verse we will take after the break only. This is little deeper verses. So there is one devotee called Ramaranjan Prabhu. He happens to be from Muslim community, and he was doing devotional service during Prabhupada's time, and he became a devotee, he is practicing devotional service nicely. He was even chanting 16 rounds and eventually he was initiated by Prabhupada also, but there was a lot of protest from his community and his family also. And on top of it, he is not financially stable. He is having some financial problems also. They are not very wealthy people, but still he is practicing devotional service. So from family side, things were not favorable, and from community side, things were not favorable. From financial constraints also, he was not favorable, but he was practicing. After a while, she died. He died. Then Prabhupada wrote a letter. Prabhupada wrote a letter, two letters. One letter to the temple whom he is connected with, a temple with who, with which the devotee is connected with, and one letter to the family, his wife. So when, because all devotees loved him, but they were confused and they were little shocked, to astonished to see the sudden death of Ramaranjan Prabhu. So there he explained, okay, I will tell the summary little later. And when he was addressing his wife, when Prabhupada was writing a letter to the wife of Ramaranjan Prabhu, you know the story, right? You don't know. He was addressing her as if he was a loving father. With fatherly affection he was addressing. He said, whatever support you need from our side, we will provide. If you like, you can come and stay with our temple devotees also. He kind of invited. So your father is, your husband is a wonderful devotee. Definitely God will protect him. Right? So you don't worry about your maintenance. We will also, we can also take care. You can also come. So like that, he consoled her like a father. And towards the temple devotees, you know what he said? Don't worry. Don't be shocked. What will happen? Devotees were thinking that what will happen to this family? Because this family is kind of seen in a different light only from other community members, and they were not financially sound also. What will happen to the family? Why Krishna has done this? What kind of this thing is there? Then Prabhupada gave a mature outlook. Ramaranjan Prabhu is a very sincere devotee. Now he left this body. That does not mean he is no more. He will definitely get a better body and in his next life, where he can get if more favorable circumstances to practice devotional service. Right? So, in this life, in that Muslim family with so many financial constraints, with a lot of opposition from the community, he could not practice devotional service properly. Family is also opposing him. So, Krishna gave him another opportunity to perform devotional service nicely. Right? And how is it favorable for his family? Now that husband left, all the family members, that wife and other children also, they took shelter of devotional service, because community people did not give them that kind of support. ISKCON gave that support. So they also became wonderful devotees. Right? This was a win-win situation. Family became devotees, and Ramaranjan, if he had continued to live, family members would not have become devotees. It could be a lifelong struggle for Ramaranjan Prabhu and family also. Now family became devotees and he got a better facility to practice devotional service, and also temple devotees are also happy. Right? So from with our little brain and intelligence, we may not be able to understand what is good for us, what is not good for us. But Krishna knows how to pull a sincere devotee into the process of devotional service and facilitate his process nicely. Apparently something seems to be very unfavorable and very unpleasant and injustice that is done to a devotee. But in that circumstance only he has wonderful opportunity to grow and practice. Krishna knows. Right? So it's like he lifts the person here and puts somewhere else. Okay, I think here it's not a good place for you, you go here. When he's being lifted, that means he's leaving the body, other people are chala gaya, mar gaya, like that, they kind of become bewildered. But we should not get bewildered when someone is, when Krishna is changing the position of one devotee to another position. Because that is better circumstance. Same thing happened with Narada Muni also. Where can we go? Just two chapters back, we were discussing Narada Muni's case. What happened in Narada Muni's case? His mother died. When he was 5 years old, his mother died. Just imagine, you are watching a movie. All lights are off. audience are seeing. And Suta Goswami very graphically describes the relationship between Narada Muni as a boy and the maid servant mother. She has only Narada Muni in her life, and Narada Muni is completely dependent on her, and this mother has complete hopes on Narada Muni only. There is no one else in their life. They are living for each other only. And she was working in different places just to raise Narada Muni so nicely. And Narada Muni is completely dependent on her love and affection. She was the only shelter. Like that, very graphically he described with so many details. And suddenly, because of snake bite, mother died. Right? So after, just imagine picturizing this. You are watching the movie, and suddenly when mother dies, the audience will, some of the audience will cry also. Right? But we understand. If Narada Muni's mother had continued to live, what would happen? Narada Muni would not have become Narada Muni. He would not have got an opportunity to leave the home and enter the forests, have complete dependence on Krishna only, meditate on Krishna, and come to Prema level, etc., etc. That would not have happened. Maybe that could happen also, but his family obligation and dependence on mother and mother's dependence on him would always be there in his mind. Okay, that would be there. And definitely, Narada Muni's mother, she performed so much of service for Bhaktivedantas, surely she would have got another birth where she could practice devotional service nicely. Right? So, Prabhupada very brilliantly writes, as soon as Suta Goswami speaks that verse that Narada Muni's mother died, the first statement that Prabhupada writes is, this is the way of pulling a sincere devotee, right, into devotional service, Prabhupada writes. So Krishna arranged this circumstance so that sincere Narada Muni can just engage in full-time devotional service, like that. So Narada Muni did not even perform the final funeral rites also for mother. He just left. Right, in the sense of urgency is so much, he left. So you can just take these inputs to understand how Krishna orchestrates different circumstances in devotee's life. But in practical life, we need to also consider the practical circumstances. You know, whether should is it proper to be indifferent and all. We need to actually evaluate the circumstances and then do things. Right, one cannot immaturely or prematurely take these high examples and then put in practice without that kind of exalted realization. That discrimination should be there. Make sense? So now we will take a break. So all this whole story I said because Prabhupada wrote that the Lord, out of his special affinity towards a weak devotee, breaks the family affection by force of circumstances arranged by his all-powerful energy. By doing so, he causes the devotee to become completely dependent on him. We have seen the example of Ramaranjan Prabhu and Narada Muni. Okay, thank you.
start. Okay, you might. Very good.
गंगे वौघम उदन्वती त्वयि मे अनन्य विषय. हियर कुंती सेज दैट माय डियर लॉर्ड आई वांट माय माइंड टू फ्लो टुवर्ड्स यू विदाउट एनी ऑब्स्ट्रक्शंस. राइट, अनन्य विषय मीन्स अन अन्य विषय, अन्य इज अदर थिंग्स, अनन्य मीन्स नो अदर थिंग इन माइंड, विषय विषय मीन्स एनी ऑब्जेक्ट ऑफ कॉन्टेम्पलेशन और एनी अदर सब्जेक्ट फॉर इंट्रोस्पेक्शन वगैरह. अनन्य विषय लिटरली इज अनअलॉयड विदाउट एनी डिविएशंस और डिस्ट्रैक्शंस. त्वयि मे अनन्य विषय मतिर मधुपस्य सकृत, विदाउट एनी डिस्ट्रैक्शंस मे माय माइंड कंप्लीटली फोकस ऑन यू ओनली माय डियर लॉर्ड. She says, so how ratim udvahata daddha, so rati means attraction, gange vaugham udanvati, so may my attraction be constantly drawn to you just like Ganga, the flow of Ganga is drawn to the ocean, gange vaugham udanvati, right, Ganga flows towards the sea, right, similarly my mind also should flow. So this is basically mad guna sruti matrena mai sarva guhasaye manogati ravichinna yatha gangam phasumbuto. This verse is in the, yesterday we quoted this verse, you remember, mad guna sruti matrena mai sarva guhasaye, just by hearing my glories, hearing my qualities, the minds of my devotees constantly just flow towards me. Kapila's teachings, exactly. Right. So same thing she is also saying. So Prabhupada writes, beautiful purport, very important and deep purport. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of finer elements like affection for someone else. Right. So sneha pasham imam chindi, which we discussed some time back, should not make one impersonal and indifferent. Should not make one unempathetic or become like a stone. That is not the purport of sneha pasham imam chindi. Right? That is not the purport of nirapeksha that we discussed some time back. So, this is not possible only. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others because this is a symptom of life. The symptom of life such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. What needs to be done? The objective of those feelings should be changed from material to spiritual. We have to invest our feelings on someone, on something. We have to have a relationship with some people, right? So let's invest all those feelings and thinking and relationships with someone who is practicing devotional service, who is performing devotional service, right? And even upon those who are not practicing devotional service also, one can have feelings of compassion. Compassion is a very big thing, right? But some kindness, something should be there, right? One should not ridicule them. So desire must be negated, but in devotional service, the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord, in place of desire for sense gratification. Okay, one needs to dovetail desires and not destroy desires. One needs to align one's desires towards devotional service and not kill them. Right. So when this desire is changed for the satisfaction of the Lord, It is called devotional service. Okay. So bhakti is like dovetailing devotional service. Dovetailing one's desires for devotional service. So one has to be malleable towards Krishna's will. So Prabhupada writes in the second paragraph, Kunti, Srimati Kunti wanted to serve the Lord without diversion, and that was her prayer. This unalloyed devotion is the ultimate goal of life. So what Kunti Maharani was desiring is ideally supposed to be the desire of everybody. Right? Gange Vaugham Udanvati Tvayime Ananya Vashaya Matir Madhupate Sakrit. Like that. So when the program is changed into service of the Lord, that is to say, when the senses are purified in relation with the service of the Lord, it is called pure and unalloyed devotional service. Okay. So her affection for the Pandavas and Vrishnis is not out of the range of devotional service. Not out of the range of devotional service. See, because the service of the Lord and service of devotees are identical. So the external aspect of blood relation should be ignored, but the core aspect of their being devotees should be retained. That's the point. I want association with Pandavas because they are devotees of the Lord, not because they are my sons. Right? That's the point. So because here the affection of Kunti Devi for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis was due to family relationship, this tie of affection in terms of material relation is the relation of Maya. Because the relations of the body or the mind are due to influence of external energy. See further what Prabhupada says. When Kunti wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off relation of the skin. Oh, I already discussed all this. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via medium of relation with the super soul. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing. But seeing in the light of the sun means to see the sun, to see everything else, which was unseen in the darkness. Now the last prayer, after expressing her appeal for association of the Lord, and finally, cut off my family ties, I want to completely depend on you. So finally, she summarizes the glories of Krishna. That is her final prayer. Sri Krishna Krishna Sakhavrishni Rishabhavanidhrik Rajanya Vamsadahana Napavarga Virya Govinda Godvija Surarti Haravatara Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste Sri Krishna Krishna Sakhavrishni Rishabhava Nidruk Rajanya Vamsadahana Napavarga Virya Govinda Godvija Surarti Haravataram Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. So Krishna is glorified in 10 ways in this verse. Sri Krishna, directly taking his name. Second, Krishna Sakha. Arjuna is also called Krishna sometimes. So Krishna Sakha means one who is friend of Arjuna. He is Krishna. Krishna is also Krishna. Krishna Sakha is also Krishna. So Sri Krishna, Krishna Sakha, Vrishni Rishabha, Avanidhrik. Vrishni Rishabha means best of all Vrishnis. Then Avanidhrik. Avanidhrik means there are Avanidhrik Rajanya Vamsa Dahana. Avanidhrik means those who are troubling, those who are rebellious people on this planet of earth. So what does Krishna do? Dahana, Vamsha Dahana. He completely destroys their dynasties. There are kings who are rebellious on this planet earth. Krishna destroys them. That's why he is called Avanidhrik Rajanya Vamsha Dahana. And Apavarga Virya. Apavarga Virya means his prowess, his strength is never subjected to any deterioration. Rajanya Vamsa Dahana Apavarga Virya. Govinda, Anapavargavirya, correct, Anapavargavirya. So Govinda is proprietor of Golokadham, and also it is mentioned that he is protector of cows, giver of pleasure to cows. Next, Go Dvija Sura Artihara. So Go is cows, then Dvija are Brahmanas, Surarti, Sura is devotees or demigods, Artihara, Krishna vanquishes their distresses. Right, that's why he descended. Then eighth point, he is Yogeshwara, he is master of all mystic powers. Akhila Guru, he is the Akhila Guru, universal preceptor. Then Bhagavan, he is the supreme personality of Godhead, possessing all opulences. Namaste, I offer my obeisances. You got 10? 10 again? No, Govinda is one. Godvija Swararti Hara Avatara. That's one. Okay. That is Kunti Maharani's prayers. So now we have seen five sections majorly, six sections. First three verses are about knowing the Lord. Next five verses are expressing one's fortune, her fortune. The next three verses are about qualification of people who can approach the Lord, Akinchana Bhaktas. So next, how the Lord's nature is inconceivable or bewildering. And various reasons for appearance of Krishna. Right? Appearance of Krishna. There is next element. Then last element is appeal for more association. Okay? So, prayers we have elaborately described. Now we can move a little fast. Suta uvacha Prithayetham kalapadaihi Parinuta akhilodaya Mandam jahasa vaikuntho Mohayan iva mayaya. Read.
Supa Goswami said, the Lord, first hearing the prayers of Kunti Devi, concluded in such words for his glorification, mildly smiled. The smile was as enchanting as its power.
So Lord's response is smile. Mukhena lokarti harasmitena parisphurat kundalamanditena. Shonayitena dharabimba bhasa pratyarhayantam sunasena subhrava. It's a beautiful verse. What does Krishna do with his smile? He does magic. Right? So, mukhena loka artiharasmitena. By his smile, he can completely vanquish the distresses of everybody in the entire cosmic manifestation. Mukhena, simple Sanskrit, mukhena, by his face, which is decorated with smita, smile. What does he do? Lokarti hara. Mukhena lokarti harasmitena. Parispurat kundala manditena. His face is resplendent with the decoration of earrings. And shonayitena dharabimba bhasa. With that smile, Krishna reciprocates with the service of his devotees. The remuneration that Krishna gives for the hard work that a devotee does is smile. And that should be the motto of a devotee in rendering service. I should just see Krishna smile. I should just, smile means what? Indicating pleasure. Right? So, devotee works so hard for the pleasure of Krishna. He doesn't have any other expectation. So, he is satisfied. Devotee is satisfied in satisfying the self-satisfied Lord. He doesn't need anything beyond that for his satisfaction. Right. So, kulapadaihi, kalapadaihi. Kalapadaihi means by chosen words. Chitrapadam, charu chitrapadam, slakshnam. Chitrapadam word comes where? In the first canto, fifth chapter also. Nayadvachas chitrapadam harer yesho. Nayadvachas chitrapadam harer yesho. So, chitrapada, kalapada, these are all special words used. Next, that smile was enchanting, and the smile is filled with prema. Anything that is enchanting in this world is said to be a representation of the Lord. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimadhurjitam evava. You know this verse, right? Tatta devava gachyattvam mama tejomsa sambhavam. Anything that is splendorous in this entire cosmic manifestation is a representation of Krishna's glory, Krishna's prowess. His devotees are enchanted in a different way by the glories of the Lord, and his merciful blessings are upon them. His energy is displayed in different ways, as electrical energy works in manifold ways. Right? Srimati Kunti Devi has prayed to the Lord just to enunciate a fragment of his glories. That's why Lord is called Uttama Shloka. Devotees glorify him with Kalapada, Chitrapada. That's why he is called Uttama Shloka. 45th verse. Tambadham ityupa mantriya pravishya gajasahvayam striyascha swapuram yasyan premna ragna nivartitaha. Okay. Now Kunti Maharani offered prayers. So the Lord informed all the ladies of his departure, and he was preparing himself to leave. Kunti prayed to stay back, but finally she said, what did she say? She said, oh, you can may my mind be, let me not be caught up in these dualities of Vrishni, you should be with Vrishnis or Pandavas, etc. So, may my mind just flow towards you wherever you are, whatever. Now, he prepared himself to leave. And at that point, Yudhishthir Maharaj became very aggrieved. Turning point. Right? So, although Krishna decided to leave Hastinapur, but the simple request of Yudhishthir, Lord remained there for some more days. That request of a devotee became immediately effective. So Krishna was not schedule conscious. Right, time okay, hurry, I have to be there. Not that way. He could change his schedule also because a devotee is asking him. The Almighty God is thus conquered only by the loving service and nothing else. He is fully independent in all his dealings, but he voluntarily accepts obligations by the loving affection of his pure devotees. Right? So Lord is independent in all his dealings. Whatever he wants, he does. But whatever the devotees want, he does many times. Right? Keeping aside his own agendas. He wanted to leave, but Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted him to stay back. So he stayed back. So that is the special relation. Vyasadair Ishvare Hagnehi Krishnenadbhuta karmana prabodhitopi itihasair nabudhyata sucharpitah. So Vyasadair Ishvara Iha Gnaihi. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was aggrieved. Why he was aggrieved? Because he was thinking, just to enthrone me, so many crores of people died. They were killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. For what reason? So that I can become king. He was feeling so guilty and morose and devastated completely. And he was unable to accept the kingdom that is a product of the death of so many warriors. Right? So he was very aggrieved. And even Vyasa could not console him. Vyasa could not pacify him. Even Krishna also could not pacify him. So that was the reason Krishna had to stay back. In this context, Krishnena Adbhuta Karmana is used. Why? What Adbhuta Karma that Krishna has done? Just now it is mentioned that Krishna could not even pacify Yudhishthira also when he was aggrieved. What Adbhuta Karma he has done? So, the Adbhuta Karma, that superhuman activity that Krishna has done is, he made Yudhishthira Maharaj lose his sense of judgment. made him incapable of understanding things properly. How can such an exalted devotee like Yudhishthira Maharaj be bewildered by this kind of thought process? So that's only because Krishna bewildered him. That's why he is described as Adbhuta Karmana. Why Krishna bewildered him? To glorify Bhishma. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was bewildered. Vyasa could not pacify him. So many other sages could not pacify him. Even Krishna could not pacify him. Bhishma will pacify him. And Krishna wanted to give Bhishma that credit. Right? Krishna was thinking, how should I glorify Bhishma Dev? Entire life, Bhishma struggled so much, helplessly witnessing all the atrocities done by Duryodhan, Dhritarashtra, Shakuni, Karana, Dushyasan and all the party. Right? He was helplessly witnessing, although he is so powerful. He can kill all of these people in one moment. Right? He is such a, and he has Ichchamrityu. He will not be killed also, unless he desires to leave the body. But he was helplessly witnessing. So Krishna made him like that. So if even such a exalted personality like Bhishma also, if he takes the wrong side of Kurus, Duryodhan and Parity, he has to face defeat. Krishna wanted to prove this. And Bhishma agreed to this plan of Krishna and he played his role very perfectly. He was fighting against Arjuna. Right? How can a devotee, pure devotee, stand against Krishna and his pure devotee? That is the inconceivable irony in Bhishma's life. So people were misunderstanding Bhishma. People might misunderstand Bhishma. So Krishna wanted to clear all those misunderstandings. And Krishna wanted to prove that Bhishma is so great that he has the ability to counsel even Yudhishthir Maharaj also after Krishna, Vyasa, Dhaumya and so many other sages have failed to counsel him. To become the counselor of Yudhishthira Maharaj is not a joke. Right? Now even within ashram also, someone who is very intelligent, who is very accomplished, right? You can't give him a suggestion. It's very difficult. Right? He is looking for something and then you go with a suggestion. Prabhu, I think you should do it this way. He must have already thought it and analyzed it 100 times. And he ruled out that option and then you go and suggest him, Prabhu, you can do like this, Kirk. Intellectual people cannot be counseled so easily. And who can be more intelligent, who can be more dharmic than Yudhishthir? Even Krishna could not counsel him. Vyasadeva could not counsel him. Then Bhishma counseled him. So Krishna wanted to give that glory to Bhishma. That's the Adbhuta Karma that Krishna has done. Mahabharata, I don't know Mahabharata. I didn't read Mahabharata. If someone has read, you can share. Okay, I personally didn't read Prabhu. So, I read only this book. Prabhupada's reports. So Vyasadeva and other people could not satisfy him. So this is the Adbhuta Karma that Krishna does. Even at the cost of minimizing his own glory, he gives credit to his devotees. See, it's quite insulting, right? Krishna could not, counsel or pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj and Bhishma did the job. That's like acknowledging Bhishma's glory at the cost of minimizing his own glory. Which boss will do in this company, in this material world? Right? In the material world, there are so many bosses. Which boss will glorify his subordinate to such an extent that when I failed, this fellow came and did the needful? It's very difficult. Even when he glorifies also, even if the subordinate has done a good activity, and even if the boss has to glorify him, he does it from standing on a upper plane. Ah, well done, well done. He pats on his back. He doesn't feel, oh, I am very grateful to you. Aisa nahi karega. Ah, well done, well done. As if he has done that so many times. Right? So even when the subordinate excels a superior, the superiors in this material world are so insecure generally that they cannot give complete glory to their subordinates. That insecurity, envy and greed, shameless greed to be in that glorious position only and not encouraging a able subordinate, that is the nature of this material world. But Krishna is not like an insecure master. Although he is capable of doing it, he will put someone else on the limelight and he will be in the background. That is Krishna. He made Arjuna the hero and he became a driver of Arjuna. It's inconceivable. How can the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can just within one eye blink destroy this entire Kuru army, he is making someone else hero. You fight. I have already killed all of them, but you fight. Just take the glory. I'll become your driver. It's highly impossible, right? So one needs to learn this attitude from Krishna directly, right? One should not feel so insecure or greedy. There is insecurity when someone else is excelling. There is greed to present oneself in that glorious position. I have to be in this position. I have to do this. I have to do this privileged activity of counseling Yudhishthir, right? When Yudhishthir is bewildered, if someone can counsel him, what kind of glory he will get? Right? Yudhishthir is not an ordinary personality. Sometimes people of this world may, gurus of this world may say that I am the guru of so and so minister, right? So and so movie star, so and so celebrity, right? So they look for some glorification in their accomplishment of taking a subordinate from a very elite class, right? Taking a disciple from an elite class also. That kind of satisfaction one may derive in this material world. Right? You know who all come. You sometimes go to some vendors, right? Go to some shops. You know who are our customers? Then he will open the list. Customers, Infosys, then TCS. Then he puts all the big companies' names. They are all our customers. He comes to me for this. We were trying to hire a website fellow. In 2010, we were making a website. Myself, Nimai Leela Prabhu and Yamunacharya Prabhu. We were making a website for Eco Village. We were trying different options. And we hired one person. We interviewed one person. Can you do this for us? And he quoted 1 lakh. He is very professional guy and he said these are our customers. See, our customer base take care, we don't have so much budget. We had sent him back. But one feels a sense of accomplishment and happiness to have a good customer base. If he's a vendor, right? If he's a materialistic guru, materialistic teacher, he takes pleasure in announcing himself as the teacher of some big people. Right? So these are some attitudes that are prominent in this world. But see Krishna, Adbhuta Karmanaha, that's why he is described as Adbhuta Karmanaha. Right? Yeah, correct. Simple, na? He wanted to give glory to Bhishma. He wanted to give glory to Bhishma Dev. Yeah, even at the cost of minimizing his own glory. Simple thing, Prabhu. You see, for example, a father fights with his son. Right? Father fights with his son. Mock fight. He'll take this umbrella and the son will take this small umbrella and there is like a big fight there. And son does like this and then father will go like this. He'll just fall off. Right? And then son will laugh. I am victorious like that. So what do you think? To encourage the son, to glorify the son. The father is taking a subordinate role. Although one slap, child will sleep only. 5-year-old child. But father takes that role. Something like that. And even, for example, you are experienced in one service and some new devotee will come to assist you in that service, right? Now you train him, give him training, how to do this, how to do this and all that. But you yourself can do it in say 1 hour, and that fellow is taking one full day to do it. But still, after one full day, he sincerely puts his effort and then comes and gives the result in front of you. And if he does it even reasonably good also, may not be exceptionally good, but even if it is reasonable also, as a superior, as an experienced person, your responsibility should be to encourage him. Ah, well done, wonderful. Right? You can do it in half an hour, but he took one full day or two full days for it. But still you need to encourage. So at that point we need to give. It's like about encouragement. So even at the cost of minimizing. And sometimes that kind of superior may even say, "Hey, I would have taken 2 days for it. You have done it in 1 day only." And you should not say that he is speaking some false statement. But that's a way of encouraging. Right? Father also is not speaking, behaving in a hypocritic way. Is a duplicitous way. He can immediately slap the child and then defeat him. And why is he unnecessarily accepting defeat? When love becomes prominent, logic has no role to play. Right? So now apparently it seems, it's all match fixing only. Krishna only was externally convincing him, and internally he is telling him not to listen to Krishna. What kind of match fixing it is? Yeah, you can't apply logic there. It's not an arena where you apply logic. We understand the emotion of Krishna. Getting right? So sometimes we should not mix up things. Right? Like that. Anyone wants to add anything in this? Yeah, correct, correct. All that will come in the next chapter. So, the pious king, Ram does not know where is Sita or what? Why he is crying there and then giving glory to Hanumanji and embracing him? You have saved my life. Take this ring, give it to Sita. And then he goes across the ocean and then brings the Sita's Chudamani there and gives to Lord Ram. And then Ram is so happy, he had tears in his eyes, he's embracing. I'm indebted to you, he says. And when Lakshman just faints because of Indrajit's some mystic astra, so Hanumanji goes and gets Sanjeevani. Then Ram was feeling so grateful to Hanumanji, he says, "You have revived my life, right? You are the source of my sustenance. You have revived my son, you revived my brother, right?" So like that he expresses so much gratitude. I think in that context only he says you become Brahma in future. Something like that he gives some benediction also. So Lord could revive Lakshmanji in 1 minute. And Lakshmanji need not be revived also. He himself could revive. He is Ankarshan, right? So what kind of mystic astra can mystify him? So you can't call this whole thing as drama. I am ass fixing. You can't believe all this. It's all bogus. You can't say like that. That's where the experience of rasa is. Right? Lord is experiencer of rasa, relisher of rasa. So unless these kind of expressions are there between the devotees and the Lord, there is no experience of that mellows. The pious king Yudhishthir was mortified because of the mass of massacre of human beings in the battle of Kurukshetra, especially on his account. Duryodhan was there on the throne and he was doing well in his administration. And in one sense, there was no need of fighting. Right? And in one sense, there is no need of fighting. This mass killing simply to enthrone Maharaj Yudhishthir was too mortifying. So the interpretation is that Lord is Ishvara or the super soul, which you just mentioned, Prabhu. Probably, I also take it like you are encouraging me by asking this question and making me speak all this, although you already know. Because you just mentioned super soul in the hearts of both King Yudhishthir and Vyasa performed still more human action, superhuman action, because the Lord desired it. So basically, it's giving credit to devotees. So, people in this material world are into stealing credit. Someone else does the hard work, and this fellow steals the credit. A mere idea. Actually, it is someone else's idea. Give the credit to that person. Acknowledge him for what he has contributed. In fact, our acknowledgement should be more than what he has contributed, but oftentimes it is less than what he has contributed, or nothing, or stealing that contribution also, stealing that credit for that contribution also. It's generally the case in material world, but Lord is not like that. Next, we are in 45th, 47th verse. Aharaja dharma sutaham chintayan suhridam vadham prakritenatmana vipraham snehamohavasham gataham. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also says that Krishna wanted to give his pure devotee Bhishma darshan at the time of his departure. All that will come in the next chapter anyways, very clearly. So, in this 47th verse, we see that Prabhupada writes, the common man thinks of violence and non-violence in terms of the body, but this is a kind of delusion. Everyone is duty bound according to one's occupational duties. In such discharge of duty, one should not be disturbed by inhalation of the material body, which is only an external dress of living soul. One should not be aggrieved by the inhalation of material body. Prakritena atmana vapuhu. Prakritena means by material conception only. One thinks that, oh, this person has died. No, he is always there. Now, in the sixth canto, one beautiful verse comes. In the conversation between Chitraketu, Angira and Narada, in that whole discussion this comes. It is said that when someone dies, the soul is eternal and he is not affected. He is always there. And the elements, they are also eternal. They are also permanent. The earth element of this body merged back into earth element. Air element merged back into air element. Then fire element merged back into fire element. Like that. Are you worrying for the body? Body is still there. Are you worrying for the soul? Soul has no death. Why are you worrying at all? Whenever a devotee gets affected by another devotee's departure, the only reason is he is such a wonderful devotee. His presence in this association inspired all of us to practice devotional service nicely. Now I miss that inspiring association. That's the only thing. Otherwise he is not affected. Even Yudhishthira also, after in the next chapter it is said that Bhishma has a spiritual body and he is not affected at all. Yudhishthira Maharaj lamented for a little while and then he understood. Oh yeah, we need to be more rationally in understanding these things. Right. Next, 48th verse. Aho me pashyata jnanam hridi rudham duratmanah parakyasyaiva dehasya bahavyo me kshauhinir hatah. Yudhishthira says, Aho me pashyata ajnanam, look at my ignorance. I am so sinful. Duratmanaha means sinful. So just see my heart. Hridi rudham parakya seva dehasya. Just for this body, which is ultimately meant for others, I have killed so many phalanxes of men. And the numbers are given. You can see the numbers in the purport. 49th verse. Baladvijasuhran mitra pitru bhratrar gurudruha namesyan nirayan moksho yapi varsha yuta yudai.
I have killed many boys, brahmanas, well-wishers, friends, parents, worshippers and brothers.
Yudhishthira Maharaj was aware of this effects of this mass killing, right? So Yudhishthira Maharaj fought for a rightful cause and also under the approval and guidance of Krishna. If he is aggrieved like this, what to speak of other people who are unnecessarily killing living entities for no reason, right? So नैनोराज्ञः प्रजा भ्रातुर् प्रजा भर्तुर् धर्मयुद्धे वधो द्विषाम् इति मेन तु बोधाय कल्पते शासनं वचः. So this killing here was not committed in the course of administration, but for the sake of self-aggrandizement. And as such, he thought himself responsible for those sins, like that. Generally, the common mentality in material world is, when a mistake happens, they say that I am not responsible. When success happens, yes, I am responsible. Right, when the glory is there, when credit is there, many people want to grab that credit and glory. But when there is a blame is there, then there is a reluctance in accepting that blame, mistake. But a Vaishnava has an opposite nature. He wants to transfer credit to other devotees and he wants to blame himself for whatever mishap that has occurred, like that. From Yudhishthira's bewilderment, we can take this important lesson. Strinam madhata bandhunam droho yosa ihothitaham karma bhirgraha medhiyair naham kalpo vyapohitum. So there are different atonement processes that are described. You can be relieved from this kind of sinful activities by performing sacrifices, etc., etc. But all these processes are not suitable for me. So he says, yeah, it says like that. Now, Arjuna, even in their bewilderment also, they speak perfect logic. Arjuna also, in the first chapter, he was giving perfect reasons. Right? So now, when great souls are bewildered, through their bewilderment also, common people can get great lessons. And that bewilderment is under the internal potency of the Lord. And post the bewilderment stage, there are many more exciting messages that the Lord wants to give us. Right. So Prabhupada highlights some principles even from these bewildered statements also. So materialist is sure to commit sins even unintentionally in the course of discharging material duties. To get relief from such sinful activities, the Vedas prescribe several kinds of sacrifices. Okay. And when they are killed, a fresh enmity is created. See, during this fight, some fathers are died, some husbands, some brothers, all these are died. So when they are killed, a fresh enmity is created, and thus a chain of actions and reactions increase, which is not possible to be counteracted even by thousands of Ashwamedha yagnas. That is the analysis. The way of work is like that. It creates one action and another action, reaction simultaneously, and thus increases a chain of bondage. So, but in this case, that is the general case. Factually, no sin whatsoever touched the Pandavas, who were only the order carriers of the Lord. Prabhupada gives this example in his lectures. A soldier in the battle kills enemies, and he will be given Paramvira Chakra, this chakra, that chakra, some awards and some titles he was given. Right? And for example, after he comes into the general city after the war and he kills his neighbor, He will be arrested. He may be hanged to death also. He cannot question. I killed the soldiers on the border, enemies, and you gave me Paramvir Chakra. When I killed my neighbor, why are you imprisoning me? He cannot question. Right? So whatever is done under the approval of government authorities is bona fide killing. Whatever is done out of one's own whims is, one is entitled for reaction for that kind of activity. Simple logic, with simple logic Prabhupada presents this. Factually, no sin touched Pandavas because they were simply order carriers of the Lord. For others who declare war out of personal interest, the whole responsibility lies on them. They are entitled for reaction. Simple. So, one needs to make sure that why am I acting under the guidance and instruction of my, say, guru or spiritual authorities or scriptural injunctions or the Supreme Lord's recommendations, or am I working whimsically based on my own mental concoctions? Last verse. Yatha pankena pankambha surayava surakritam bhutahantyam tathaivakam nayagnair marshtumarhati. So, yeah, the analogy is very clear. So, just by conducting sacrifices, I will not be relieved of this sin, he says. And on top of it, Prabhupada writes that this kind of sacrifices are not effectively performed, especially in Kali Yuga. Asvamedham gavalambam sanyasam palavaitrukam devarena sutotpattim kalau pancha vivarjayit. There are five forbidden things in Kali Yuga. So, sanyasa, asvamedha, then Gomedha, and be getting child through brother's wife, and offering flesh oblations to forefathers, these are prohibited. Right? So sannyasa is prohibited, but not Vaishnava sannyasa. Right? Mayavad sannyasa is prohibited. That sannyasa which makes one think that I am God, I have become God, that is prohibited. Dandagrahana matrena naram narayano bhavet. Some philosophers think like that. I have taken danda, I have become Narayan. So that kind of sannyasa is prohibited. So Vaishnava sannyasa, just to dedicate one's life for the service of Krishna, that is not prohibited in Kali Yuga. One needs to understand that verse in a proper light. The whole purpose therefore is served when everything is done by the for the will of the Lord. This is possible only for the devotees. Okay. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, comments? Okay, I'll give questions. Second half. Twelfth question, 5 marks. 12th question, 5 marks. 11th question, 10 marks. 4th question, 15 marks. 4th question, 15 marks. Full table. And 10th question, 15 marks. 10th question, 15 marks. You need to quote 2 verses and whatever is there in the question. And 9th question, 5 marks. Don't write purport points. Just write the verse. Verse and translation, sufficient. Okay. I'll repeat. 4th question, 15. 9th question, 5. 10th question, 15. 11th question 10 marks, 12th question 5 marks.